fudge!
Ah! Am I envisioning? What is he, nuts?
It's friggin' ganache inside!
What's going in there?
The box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running, it's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Please!
Bada bing. Get in truck.
Oh, my word!
You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
You're gay?
How do you know I'm gay?
Because you macrame'd yourself a pair of jean shorts.
You know I know you're gay? You just told me you're not sleeping with women anymore.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
You like Coldplay. You know how I know that you're gay?
How?
You like the movie Made in Manhattan.
You know I know you're gay?
How?
I saw you make a spinach dip in a loaf of sourdough bread once.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How?
You have a rainbow bumper sticker on your car that says, I love it when balls are in my face.
That's gay.
Escort's a nice touch. It's like visiting the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. All them flying monkeys?
Oh, well, you should stick with it. Then they pull the curtain back. Turns out the guy's kind of a pussy.
Oh, bitchin', is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
Oh, like, I hate 3D.
It's not in 3D.
You young gentlemen have a telephone in here. You want to jump on the horn and get me Mr. John Big Boot?
It's Big Bootay.
Oh, here. Do anything nowadays. You gotta do it yourself. What is your name?
John Yaya.
John Yaya, huh? And you are... John Smallberries.
Just gonna file that under who gives a shit.
We're back! Oh my god! We're back! Woo! Hey everybody, it's time for the Nowhere Mulberry Show. I am Zed Jastrom. Welcome to the show. I can't believe we're back. We're really back. Or are we? Is it just me, or do I have other people here? I'm the Jastrom, and okay, if somebody else is here, there would be someone to my left. It would be Steven. Steven, are you there?
I'm here!
Woohoo! Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Going very well, thank you.
Now, okay, here's the big question. To our right, do we have Mulberry Bill? Mulberry Bill, are you there? Come in.
I am here, but the connection sucks.
No, just in case if you weren't there or something, Bill, I had this prepared.
I am Bill Lochner, otherwise known as Mulberry Bill of... Nowhere in Mulberry.
So I had
what
that.
Is that from?
That was from your appearance on 35 Millimeter Heroes.
Oh, jeez.
And I made a drop of that.
So long ago.
And I was like, I need Bill introducing himself. Oh, yeah. And I like went back and listened to that. I go, perfect. He introduces himself and everything. Perfect. So just in case like you weren't there, I had it ready to go.
Excellent.
But, Bill, it's so great to hear from you.
And you, too.
Because, you know, I talked to you over chat and stuff, but we haven't actually talked in a long time.
No, we haven't.
Where I could hear your voice.
Well, I think I butt-dialed you the other day, but...
Yeah, twice. I
wasn't aware of it.
Hello? Hello? Bill, are you there? Bill? Hello? Hello?
I
was like,
well,
whatever. And then later on, that was all during the tornado stuff.
Yeah, when I was trying to update you with information.
I was like, Bill, find a radar. What's going on? How close is the tornado to me? I want to go to Sonic and get something to eat.
I hope Sonic's still there.
It was so funny about all that tornado stuff that happened.
Tornadoes
this week.
Love the onion rings with vanilla extract in them.
Because there's nothing really funny about tornadoes. It's really scary. But also
lightning.
But also there was hail. Like, if you didn't get tornadoes, there was, like, giant, like, baseball-sized hail in places.
Well, that's like the precursor. It's like, if you're going to get a tornado, you're going to get hail. And hail, I don't know which one's scarier.
Yeah, and we just got a new car recently, and I was like, oh, shit, I don't want hail to get on. And Heather was like, put it in the garage. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to Sonic under the covered parking and get me something to eat. See, I'm thinking, you know. Because the power here was out.
Kill two birds with one stone. Hunger and protection.
Don't
I didn't
worry about the little girl delivering the food to you.
Screw her.
My hamburger! But there was no power here. It's a complete darkness. So I'd go outside and it looked calm. But it turns out there's a tornado like a block away from me.
Yeah, you said you couldn't see past the tree line, but no, it was all black over there.
Right. If I had driven to Sonic at the time when the sirens were going off, I probably would have seen the tornado and probably gone in that. But it's great that it didn't hit our house. We were very lucky because I've driven down the street and seen people with roof damage like going all the way down the side road to the freeway. But Bill, it's so great to hear from you again because you were in the hospital for a while.
I was. 6 days. 6 miserable freaking days.
That is crazy. 6 days. What was that like?
Oh, wow. You know, when you first go there, I was excited. I was like, oh, okay, it's time. I've been waiting for this for years, and I'm finally getting my surgery. So, you know, we go there first thing in the morning, and of course, it's gonna rain. I really enjoy spring. You know, the things of spring, the flowers, the smells. But I could completely do without the rain and the storms. Mm-hmm. But we get there, and I get my name band with the scan bar and all that on it, and it's like the moment that's like, oh, it's okay. Well, this is it. I'm locked in.
Right.
You know, they wrap those things around your wrist. They take you back. It wasn't long at all.
Were you like, I can't escape now? They've got me.
Yeah. You know how the creepiest thing is I guess I've never experienced laying down and being wheeled in like the gurney bed thing. And it's like a roller coaster. It's exciting.
You've seen it so many times in movies. Did you feel like RoboCop?
I did. I was waiting for them to initiate me. But whenever they lay you on your back and you see the ceiling tiles whipping by and the lights and everything, it's like, wow, this is unsettling. How many times have I seen this in a movie?
Right.
But it was an experience. You know, they take you in and they put the IV in and they give you the basic rigmarole of we're gonna give you some anesthesia and all that. But they wheel you into this really cold operating room, and they have you scoot over from the main, you know, the bed they wheeled you in on onto the operating table, and they tell you, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I'm going to put some stuff in your IV here, and it's going to make you sleepy, and we're going to put this mask over you, and they put this the air mask over you, and it smells like tinny. It's really weird, and they just said, just take a deep breath, and that was it. Boom. Nothing.
And you're out.
Until they go, Mr. Lochner, your surgery went fine. We're taking you into recovery. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember this, but the day before, I was like, how can I find out how the surgery went? And you were like, oh, I'll be fine the next day. I'll be up. They're going to make me walk around and I'll be online and tell you whatever. Do you remember telling
you? That's what they told me. They were like, oh, you know, right after surgery, you'll be in recovery for a couple hours. They'll take you up to your recovery room and then they'll have you up and walking because they want to prevent any blood clots in the legs and everything. And they took me from, you know, into the recovery room But then they didn't put my CPAP mask on, so my O2 levels were all out of whack. So they were freaking out, and they took me to the from the recovery directly to the intensive care unit. And I'm like, I need CPAP. And they're like, oh, I see that on your chart here. Okay.
Yeah, God, they need to see that kind of shit, don't they?
And they put it on me, and my O2 levels started balancing out. But the pain was so intense that I couldn't get a deep enough breath.
Right.
I guess he had to make a larger incision on the left side for the stitcher that goes in and stitches everything together. And that thing was just throbbing. And I couldn't – it was like your diaphragm's limited. It can't go lower than the stitches. So I was getting these like really shallow breaths. And they were worried about that. And then on top of that, because of the pain, they're giving me Dilaudid, which is – if you've seen Trainspotting, and you know that scene where the Ewan McGregor character overdoses and he, like, sinks into the floor?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's exactly what it feels like. Oh, they shoot this stuff into your IV line. Your whole body goes warm, and then – Your crotchal area gets real warm. It's almost like you feel like you're going to pee or poo yourself. Uh-huh. And then feeling of just complete warmness overtakes your body. And then it's like a slow falling.
We like, whoa.
I had no idea what the hell was going on. It's like, they're like, what's your pain level, Mr. Lochner? And I was like, 10. She's like, okay, I'm going to give you something. And I was like, whoa, what the hell was that?
Is it pretty instant to you?
Yeah, the moment they put it in, and then you get the warmness and then that slow falling, and then it's pretty much just sleep. You can't keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
So you just fall asleep. And luckily they had me in a decent enough bed, but it was still uncomfortable, you know, because they make you sleep with your head up, and they're constantly bothering you like every 2 hours to check your vitals. Even though you're on telemetry, they come in, check your vitals and everything to make sure that the telemetry is correct. And then they'll ask you again about your pain or all that, and they bother you with this I forget what they call it, but it's a thing where you have to breathe out and get the little puck in between a certain area. And you have to do that because they don't want the little grape branches in your lungs, the alveoli or something, to close up because that can cause a temperature. So they're constantly bugging me about that. And after about a day or two, I got out of the ICU, which I was disappointed because all the nurses were attractive in the ICU. You go up to the recovery floor, and it's like, oh, my God, I'm in nurse hell. None of them want to pay attention to you. I got in an argument with one because the IV they put in me the day of surgery was burning really badly, and I could tell it was leaking. And she's looking at it like, I don't see a problem. And I was like, it's burning like hellfire. Just take it out and put a new one in. She goes, I don't know where you got your medical degree. And I was like, and I told her to just get out of my room. I was like, you know what? Just get out of my room. And I waited for the next shift to the nice nurse that I liked. And she took it out and put another IV in because it was leaking. She's like, this is leaking. I was like, no shit.
Oh my God.
That's what I told the last nurse. But yeah, and it's after the surgery because you can't have any food, of course. They just did stomach surgery on you. Mm-hmm. So all you can have is what they call a clear liquid diet, which is water, or they give you this stuff called Proti Diet. And it's this really sickly sweet syrup that you put in water, and it has a protein content in it so that you're getting protein as you're not getting any meats or anything, any veggie proteins, so that you don't lose muscle mass while you're there not eating anything. And that's all you can have. And then they up me to full liquids, which is basically milk-based liquids. And every day for 6 days, this is my thing. They bring in for the food. They're like, oh, here's your breakfast, here's your lunch, here's your dinner. And each time it's bouillon. It's water, hot water and bouillon. So it's salt water. And I'm like, wow, this is really nutritious. Thanks a lot. It's delicious.
Gross.
And then they give you vanilla pudding with a stuff in it called Beneprotein, which makes it even thicker and more disgusting. And then I find out, oh, I can't eat that because after the first couple days of surgery, you can become lactose intolerant. So you can't eat that. And then they bring me fat-free, sugar-free vanilla yogurt. Can't eat it. Dairy. And Jell-O. And I thank God for Jell-O because it's what I lived on for 6 days.
Wow.
That's the only thing I could have. You know, I tried doing the milk, and they're right. You cannot tolerate it after surgery. It just you get bloated, and you just feel horrible.
Right.
So I lived on Jell-O, and it was a really miserable experience to have them bring in something every day for 6 days, and it's stuff you can't eat.
Why does it sound like they were going like trial by error?
I don't know. I talked to the surgeon, and I was like, dude, I can't take this. What are they doing? Why is, you know, I visited with a dietitian how many times before this, and they told me what I'm going to have in the hospital, and they just bring me the same shit every day, three times a day, that I can't eat, and I've been living on Jell-O. And he's like, yeah, we're trying to work with the hospital with that. They don't want to do anything special for patients. And I'm like, that's really nice of them to be so cognizant of it. If they won't do it, your department should be doing it then. Like, yeah, I was so pissed off by the fifth or sixth day. I remember I was supposed to get out of there by 4 o'clock on Saturday, and I was dressed and ready to go by 11 a.m. They were like, where's your gown? It's like over there in a ball. They're like, why don't you have it on? It's because I'm going home. When's that? 4 o'clock? What time is it now? 11 a.m. I just wanted to get out of there so badly. And, you know, I thought, oh, this is going to be nothing. You know, the way they described it to you, you're up and around the first day after surgery. I didn't get up around until like the fourth day after surgery.
Wow. It just knocks you on your ass, basically.
It does. And they have these really irritating boots on your legs that inflate in a certain way, like from bottom to top and then from top to bottom, to keep the circulation in your legs going so that you don't throw blood clot, so blood clot right. doesn't develop in your legs. And when you fall asleep, you know, you kind of, you're disarmed. And whenever these things start blowing up, it feels like somebody's touching your leg. So every time they would start blowing up, I would wake up. There was no way to get any sleep there. Either people checking your vitals, these things blowing up on your legs,
right.
The bed, you know, because it's like a plastic mattress, you know, so people don't mess themselves and it's easier to clean. You're sweating constantly. One night I sweat so bad I felt like I was taking a swim, and I woke up, I was soaking wet, and it turned out they thought I had pneumonia, so I go down on night 5, chest x-rays, they thought I was dehydrated, so they threw two gigantic bags on my IV and put those in me, and you get the chest x-ray back, and it's clear, and it turns out I had a UTI, a bladder infection, because the asshole tech that took out my Foley catheter on the second day took it out like he was starting a freaking lawnmower. It hurt so bad.
Oh, my
that
God.
I guess he tore area in the urethra. So it was – yeah. So I was, like, peeing blood for, like, 3 days.
What the hell is wrong with these people?
I don't know. It was quite possibly one of the most miserable experiences of my life. And that's not even the worst part of it. Once they take me out of the ICU where I'm actually getting Dilaudid and I'm getting sleep and I don't care if anybody bothers me because I'm so doped out, they take me up to the recovery floor where there's construction going on.
Oh, my God.
12 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
So what do I hear all day? Boom, 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 boom. And then one day, I swear, they were using one of those multi-tools that just vibrate to cut things, like those sonic cutters, all day long in the room behind me. So it's like, all day. It felt like Jim Carrey was doing the world's most annoying sound right next to my ear.
Do they hate you? What is going on?
I honestly thought they did. because it was terrible. I mean, my TV, I was in my own room, but it was like a two-bedroom. But thankfully, nobody was in there with me. My TV that was directly in front of my bed would turn on but had no sound. And the TV that was to the right of my bed for the second bed turned on and had sound. So I had to watch that TV if I turned the TV on. So I had to like turn like to my side to watch that TV. It's like nothing worked. It was miserable. In fact, I think it was like two nights ago, I'm laying in bed and I had a nightmare that I had to go back in for surgery.
You're like, no!
I was like, okay, we're taking you in. And as they're wheeling me into the room, I'm like, no! No! I'm trying to crawl out of the bed onto the floor. And then thankfully, I woke up whenever they put the anesthesia mask on me in my dream. So I was like, oh.
Were you like, oh, thank God?
I really don't want to have to do that again, ever again.
Well, I'm glad that you're home.
That's why I was so miserable on every one of my Facebook posts that I made. It was just me being bitchy. You know, there was no humor in it at all.
I didn't really pick that up, though, on your things.
Well, so miserable. So, so miserable.
I would text you and stuff and see how you were doing.
Yeah.
It's so funny like that is I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm like, I don't want to text, hey, how's it hanging, bud? Or,
how you doing? Obnoxious.
Yeah, it's so hard to talk to somebody.
It's weird when you're in a hospital because it's when I work in them, you know, you're walking down the hall and you, hey, how's it going? Well, I wouldn't be in a hospital.
Yeah, because how do you think, asshole? Yeah. Oops, I said the wrong thing.
Yeah, and it's like this whole march of the dead whenever you do get up on your feet because in the recovery area, there's people from all types of surgeries. So they have you walking around and all that. And on the fourth day, God decided to bless me with a woman who was passing a gallstone. So for about 5 hours, all I heard was, help! Help! Oh, my God! Help!
Oh, my God!
And I was just like, what the hell is wrong with this woman? Is she hopped up on drugs, delusional? Is she, does she have dementia? How old is she? And I was talking to my dad on the phone about the same thing, and the cleaning lady's cleaning my room, and she decides she wants to get involved in the conversation. And she's like, oh, that woman was passing a gallstone? And I'm like, lady, did I invite you into this conversation? It's just everybody volunteers themselves there for some reason.
Right.
It's so strange. You're laying there in a gown, you're buck naked, and it's just like everybody is up in your shit. It's so disarming. I don't understand. I didn't think a hospital stay would be that miserable.
Yeah, that sounds really shitty. I'm just glad you're home and you're feeling better, right?
I'm feeling better.
I
know
still
you know,
pain.
There's five incision sites. Basically, like if you do the Catholic cross on your, you know, the thing the priests do, that's basically what it is. One at the top, one at the bottom, one at the left, one at the right, and then another one kind of diagonally to the right. And they all seem fine. When you first go in, I guess they put this really cool ball thing that's filled with lidocaine, but there's these two tubes coming out of it that feed into one of the incision sites, and then there's these like string-like lines from it that go around all the incision sites. So it's a nerve block, so none of the incisions hurt.
Right.
While you're in the hospital, it's just whenever you get up to walk and you just feel that initial pulling of everything. But that was great. But then, like, the last day it wore off and the incision site started to hurt. And the left one, which was the biggest one, hurt the most for a few days, especially when I got home. But then now it's just this center one right above the belly button. I guess it's where the largest stitch is in the abdomen. And that's really rough. Right now, I'm sure you can tell I'm a little slower when I talk because I'm doped up on muscle relaxant and Percocet. And that seems to be the only thing that it still hurts, but I don't care. I guess that's the point of the Percocet.
Right.
But yeah, I'm getting there. I'm really excited, and I've got so much more energy, and I feel restless because when it starts hurting really bad, I have to get into bed and I have to lay on my back because that's the only thing that makes me feel better.
Right.
I cannot sit upright for like more than an hour. Mm-hmm. Because it starts to tighten that muscle, it's healing, and it tightens at the front and then runs all the way to the back, right at the spine.
Right.
And it starts to spasm, like squeeze.
What are you doing? Are you sitting up right now? Or
I'm in bed, but I'm sitting upright. So like if it starts to hurt, I can like slide down slowly.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm good, but it's. I just want to get out and I want to start doing stuff. It's spring and the grass needs cut and we've had so many bad storms that there's branches all over. And it's like I look out my window in my bedroom and I see it and it's taunting me. I can't do anything. If I try to bend over, heck, even whenever I get up to go to the bathroom, I have to like hold my stomach and then make sure I'm holding it in the right spot, because if it isn't, it'll just feel like this, that intense tearing and burning. So the surgeon said one day I'll wake up and it'll just be gone. So I'm just waiting for that day right now.
You know what I would do when you feel better? Go up to the hospital, find the catheter guy and punch him in the face.
Oh my God. And you know what's the weirdest thing? And this isn't, I'm not making any political statements. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm glad people get jobs. But every single one of the nurse techs or the orderlies was foreign and could barely speak English. I had a terrible time talking to that guy because he's obviously from Mexico. But his English was so broken that I couldn't tell him, like, ow, that hurts. He's just like, okay, it's out.
It's like, me no understand ow. What do you mean? It's like,
ow, that's English word.
Oh.
Yeah, it hurts. So when he pulled it out, I swear to God, it looked like he was starting a lawnmower. Because that's what it felt like. It was like he let the Foley catheter has, like, a bladder in it. And when he pulled that son of a bitch, I screamed. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Why can't you go slow? Or is it?
I don't know.
I didn't even think about it. God, that's.
I don't know, but I mean, it's bad enough you have a tube inside of you through your most sensitive area, and then this asshole decides he's going to rip it out.
Yeah,
it's like a tooth. You got to yank.
Yeah.
Exactly. Are you going to tie it to the doorknob?
It's how long has it been since we've done a show, by the way? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Just a month and a half.
Has it been the longest we've ever taken? It seems
probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
There's, you know what, the weirdest thing about, you know, when we were doing the show every week or every other week or whatever, when I watch shows, I keep a mental catalog in my head, like, this will be good for a drop. This will be good for a clip or whatever. I want to talk about this part. Like, I'm thinking it as I'm watching a show or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To not have that, it's kind of weird. Like, not use that part of my brain anymore. It's kind of sad, you know? And I'm like, I'm just watching this. And usually, like, I keep the show for a while to make a clip of it. And I'm, like, just deleting them after I watch them. And I'm like, it's so weird. I just deleted it. I just deleted this Walking Dead episode or the Spartacus or just whatever, this Fringe. And it's like trying to do that again this week to prepare for a show was really hard to get back into that mode again. But slowly, you know, it's like I've trained my brain to remember certain things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to get back to doing that. It'll be fun, you know. I mean, it sucks that we missed, like, basically an entire season of Spartacus, but, you know, we can catch up on it and stuff, but it'll be fun, Bill, to talk TV with you again, you know?
Yeah, well, whenever I didn't watch anything leading up to the surgery or, you know, when I got home, I started watching things and catching up on things, but it was just like it wasn't part of my mental capacity.
Yeah, I can imagine you're pretty preoccupied.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was nice to get home and actually, like, start to watch stuff. I have, like, God, like 6 or 7 episodes of Awake to watch, because I've only watched the pilot and the first half of the second episode, and
right.
It was nice to catch up on Justified because I couldn't watch it when I was in the hospital, and there was like a whole week of shows that I missed.
I love Justified.
God, it's so good.
Every week, there's something funny about the show that I love.
I'm just going to file that under who gives a shit.
Yeah, there's just always some line that I'm like, oh,
and there's
gold.
This year is just such a cluster F in general. Like, normally it's, like last year, there was a big bad, there was a scandal, there was something going on. And this year, it's just like hell has taken over.
Well, you know what else they did this season? Before Unjustified, they would do kind of a procedural type episode of a different case.
Yeah.
But this year, they're kind of sticking to everything's kind of related, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
It's just a really shit year for Raylan.
Turns out the guy's kind of a pussy.
Yeah, it's great. Now, guys, we got a bunch of voicemail stacked up. You guys want to hear from some of our loyal listeners?
Yeah.
How great would that be, Bill?
I haven't heard Sean's dulcet tones in a very long time. I hope there's one there.
There is not.
Oh, probably because I was badgering him for going to WrestleMania.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Because WrestleMania is dumb.
I am Bill.
Well, it is
Lockner,
to me.
Otherwise known as Mulberry Bill.
Yes, that's me.
Well, you know, nowhere in Mulberry.
But Sean knows why I don't like wrestling. Well, we've gone through this on the show.
Here's the thing. Wrestling, I think of it kind of like, think of it like religion. Just respect their love of something.
Yeah.
And just let it go.
As I mature in life, 32 years old, a little late for that.
I'm serious. I'm 40 years old now. I guarantee you, by the time you're 40, you will just let it roll off you.
I'm sure you're right. I'll have more things in life to worry about.
Like, I know the Rondo, like, I could talk to him. He can talk to me about the Iron Sheik or whatever. And I'll go, yeah, okay. And I'm just wait for my open to change the subject.
That stuff cracks me up. I mean, that's the stuff I watched when I was a kid.
It's honestly, I think a lot of it is nostalgia from when you're younger and you watch wrestling or something like that.
But now it's so douchey.
Yeah.
Like all the guys are like the, you know, type of MMA guys, and it's just I don't know, it's lost that like that indie charm that it had in the 80s. Now it's like big spectacular shows and
I don't understand it, but just let it go. That's all.
Yeah, you're right. It's something I need to work on for myself
Hey, I love Sean and I know he has good taste cuz he loves our show.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way, it's just me ribbing, but in another way, it is. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't get MMA either. We've talked about that too.
Oh my god, guys fighting hate together. That. My dad wants to talk to me about it, and I just want to go, dude, shut up.
I mean, I'll watch like if somebody breaks their leg and it's fairly disturbing or something.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, but that's about it. I don't want to see anyone pound the shit out of each other.
The
you know,
first between MMA and wrestling is wrestling. It's just kind of like fake douchey. MMA, like, these guys are psychotic douchey.
I don't want reality. I want Spartacus, where someone gets their throat cut and it's like just
it's absurdity.
The room. Yeah, absurd and hilarious and. There was an episode of Spartacus where Spartacus chops a dude's face off.
Yes.
And I yelled out, holy F! Like,
yeah.
It shocked me. Like, he just chopped a dude's face off! His face got chopped off!
There's been some particularly brutal kills this year.
Oh, and then, Bill, the guy falls on his knees and his brain fell out.
Yeah. That was the cherry on top of the face cut off.
That you just have to laugh at because it's so funny. He chopped the dude's face off, the guy falls to his knees, and the brain's like, shpoo. And I kept thinking, like, dude, who cleans that up? Like, Spartacus,
the CGI artist?
I mean, Spartacus does not have to clean it up. Yeah, who has to clean that digital brain up off the floor? Because that's what it is, you know. There was no brain ever there on the set. But
that's what would be great, though. I know they don't have the money to do it, but could you imagine like a John Carpenter type of head that gets cut and then the brain flops out? Like that kind of that great makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think when I think makeup, I think Carpenter and The Thing. You know, just the real gruesome shit before there was CGI.
Right.
Would love to see some more of that. Although at the beginning of the season there was more squib like stuff, but then as the season went on and it got more and more brutal, then they had to go CGI because there were some kills, like you said, the face off or the sword in the mouth or
I just find it all entertaining and I'm just like Hawaiian Punch, yes. You know? I get into it. But you know what? Let's play our first voicemail, Bill. Let's go ahead and check this out. The first one is from Mike from Ireland. Let's check it out.
Excellent.
Hey, Mulberry. Hello, where in Mulberry? More like. Mike from Ireland here. Glad I didn't voice call in last week because... God, it was very energetic, wasn't it? I'm glad I didn't voice call in last week because you got loads of voicemail. It was great. There was a Tim from Massachusetts, was it? Was a new guy. That's cool. It was great to hear. This is just a quick voicemail because I wanted to get one in this week. I've had a shitty week, so I'm a bit hyper and just looking to relax and de-stress a bit. I really enjoyed the last show. It was really, really funny from the Jack Palance. You're my number one guy. Well, Jack Nicholson doing Jack Palance, absolutely fantastic, hilarious. But there was loads of things I wanted to talk about. God damn it, if I get a chance, I'll send another voicemail. But the one thing I really specifically wanted to talk about was your nostalgia. You talk about nostalgia has been a big factor in Mulberry, but I've often thought about this. It's weird because nostalgia kind of for the 80s, the end of the 70s in Ireland is different because Ireland and England, I suppose, was obsessed with America and kind of the bright, shiny possibilities of America during the 80s in particular. That's where, like, songs like, you know, Kim Wilde's Kids in America came from and that. It was just... America was kind of seen as really vibrant and cool and all that. But it was, of course, the America that was... The America that we had in our minds was the one that we got in Steven Spielberg films, you know, like E.T. and these sort of these towns that Spielberg films were set in, which, of course, not real America at all. So... It's kind of a nostalgia for something that never really existed as such. It's really strange. It's a nostalgia of something that, you know, first time I went to America, I kind of expected to find it in some way or see some aspect of it. But of course, it's not actually real, so it's kind of strange. Nope. So it's like all good nostalgia. It's in the past and it's sort of remembered fondly. It's more of a feeling than anything else, you know. But and it's there in movies and all that. But, God, it's very serious, isn't it? Listen, it's great to hear from Rick again. I'm glad Adam likes to hear my voice, although he described it in a slightly dodgy way, if I remember, something along the lines of, I can't remember, but if you listen back to it, it was a bit like, you know, I was thinking,
wow, is he?
When I heard it. But, too energetic. I sound like a kind of yapping dog. There's my wife.
No, you don't.
In the rain. I'm sitting in my car, by the way, outside my house, because I've just driven home. So, there you go.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, I'm going to head off.
It's calming.
And I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great show. Right, thanks for the last one. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike. I think you sent that about a month and a half ago, but it was nice to hear from you.
That is so strange, though, that, you know, as kids in America in the 80s, we kind of saw those films as, you know, as fantasy, like, you know, that.
First of all, like Elliot, his mom, like, if we were talking Spielberg films, she's single mother. Where's she getting all the money to live in that house? And they have all these Star Wars toys and shit. Like, dude, I can't identify with that.
Exactly. It was fantasy.
It was. You don't have all... He had a Kuahara dirt bike and stuff. Like,
yeah, and he had how many... and that's what it was about movies in the 80s and kids that had cool bikes or dirt bikes or, you know... I remember... For some reason, every week when my friends and I would do our weekly trip up to the supermarket, we would ride our bikes up through town, supermarket, get candy, ride home, play Genesis or Nintendo. We would stop. There was a Honda dealership midway, and we would stop and drool at this this bike. It was an 80cc dirt bike that we would go and just stare at. We would eat our candy and stare at it and touch it because we weren't allowed to get on it. And that was like our dream, to have a dirt bike, but instead of riding our bikes, we could just drive our bike. Like, that was the dream. And I swear those movies just encouraged that because that was common. And then when one of my friends actually got it, we were all so pissed at him that we stopped hanging out with him.
Oh, man.
It's just the way it works when you're a kid like that, and you're petty, and you're jealous.
He's a friggin' sellout is what he was, huh?
It's what happened. Yeah, it's like the friend that hangs out with you and like, oh, I'm going to get that one day. It's a dream for all of us. We can all relate. It's untouchable. It's out of our reach. And then one Christmas, he gets it, and we were all so pissed at him. You know, and I remember he let me ride it one time, and I drove it right through the neighbor's fence and broke the clutch on it.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and his dad ended up fixing it all day. I didn't mean to.
Right.
I just didn't know. I had no idea how powerful it was if you turn that just a little bit, and it got away from me, and basically I did a wheelie and went through a fence post.
Yeah, I would have been too scared to ride one.
But yeah, he's right. The 80s, you know, it's nostalgia. And for him, you know, in that area of Ireland and everything, it's, you know, it was like a dream. Like, wow, everything is so cool there. Is that what it's really like? Not have any frame of reference.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot just, of, there were some aspects of it, like, that you can relate to, like having a group of friends you hang out with and stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely the, I mean, nostalgia is very powerful in my life at times. I would almost say it's a hindrance in a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
But like you and I have talked about where we can just watch YouTube for hours and send each other different commercials.
Yeah.
And sometimes you hit that.
Which we have.
Sometimes you hit that right commercial where I'm on my grandmother's living room floor on a Saturday morning watching Super Friends. And I'm like, whoa. Like I felt it for a second. Like, almost for a second I could have like transported, but it just did. It was almost there. That's like that kind of memory, like the, it almost connected in your brain where you remember like Total Recall, like what it felt like, you know.
It's like in Ratatouille when the critic
exactly
takes a bite of that that ratatouille and goes, just flashes back to being with his mom and everything. That's it. That's perfect.
That part in Ratatouille always gives me chills. Like I get goosebumps.
I cried the first time I saw it.
I get goosebumps all over my body in that scene when I watch it, because that's exactly like sometimes I get that nostalgia over things.
And then you crave it.
Yeah,
like
you
that's the way I am, because that was the happiest time of my life up until now, is childhood and the memories and the things I loved. And now that I'm old and I make my own money and I want, you know, the things I want to re-experience are the things I couldn't experience as a child.
Right.
So, you know, I get the old game systems that I didn't have, or, you know, just that's the way it works for me right now. Is I'm a slave of nostalgia, like we've said before.
A lot of people will collect things from their childhood, you know, or something like, or you know, easier like DVDs of movies you like. That's cheaper.
Cheaper.
Yeah, but like we'll talk. I want to talk about Rock of Fire Explosion a little bit here in a little bit, because that movie's very. It's all about nostalgia, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we'll talk more about that. But thank you for that voicemail, Mike. We gotta keep rolling. Here's a Brothers Row voicemail, Bill.
Excellent.
Let's check it out.
Hey, Norton Mulberry. It's the Brothers Row. Pierce, Brothers Row, Patrick, from Indiana. And we loved hearing ourselves on the big scale so much.
We loved it. We loved it so much.
We had to call back again.
We want to listen to our voices again.
All right. So, first order of business.
We don't want to talk about Star Wars. Again,
but a good friend of mine, ex-roommate, stopped by my apartment the other day. He said, hey, have you seen the Star Wars is coming out in 3D? And I go, yeah, I'm not really that interested in it. He goes, oh, okay, I might see it. So I go, okay, how about I'm going to pull you up a video and I'll show you something. So I pulled up that trailer with the idiot doing the voiceover. And my buddy, after the trailer ended, just looked at me in disgust, and he goes, I've never been so angry in my life. And I go, you still want to see it now? And he said, no. So, hey, I've had some good influence in this world.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Let's see, what else do we have here?
Chill out, R2!
Here's how we're talking, and we were thinking, and I have wanted this for a long time. Have the Mulberry Boys ever been in the same room together? Have Jason, Steven, and Bill ever recorded together, ever met in person together? I mean, all three of you? It was just something we wondered, and I don't think you've ever said so.
Yeah, I never really heard you guys talk about that.
Oh, really?
So we were just curious about that.
Yeah.
What else? Do we have anything else?
I think that's all we've got for now. We called this week just out of response to the show you guys just did, and we'll call back right before you do your next show.
And we just we couldn't believe how much there was to take in the last episode. And
oh my god!
An episode of Nowhere in Mulberry is so dense.
There's so many levels to it.
It's put in so many layers that you have to go back and watch it 5-10 times. And
it's incredible.
You notice new ships or new aliens flying by every time.
Yeah, new sound effects in the background. I didn't hear the first time. Just so dense, guys. Really great job.
Yeah, so keep it up. Maybe release the show in 3D.
Yeah, maybe you can add another element to it and make it a little funny. Younger audience, add a little something for them.
Yeah, Bill shoots first.
Okay.
All right, okay. Have a great week, boys. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Thanks. I love stuff, the humor like that, by the way, where you just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You don't break it for a second and just go as like, oh, just kidding or whatever. Just keep it going. Don't break it, you know? But the answer to that question is, I've never met you, Bill, in person.
No.
Ever.
Ever. But it's going to change here soon, very soon.
I've never met Steven in person either.
No, Steven's just a shell. He uses an animatronic.
It's just a monitor.
it's a monitor.
Steven's the boy in the plastic bubble. Basically, he's at home right now.
I can't leave my home.
Oh, no. If he does leave, he's going to have a strange girl he meets jump over him with a horse.
That would be sweet, but no.
Bad reference. Sorry.
was that the Gyllenhaal movie or?
Oh, that was the John Travolta, the original one.
Oh yeah, I've seen that, but when I was a child.
They take him out in the yard in like an enclosed cart.
Right.
And he's like falling in love with this girl, and he's like, "Yeah, jump over me with the horse! Yeah, it's awesome! Yeah!" And then he gets all excited and dies.
That's a pretty good Travolta there, Bill.
Sorry, no. It's just one of those really awful, awful movies I remember watching multiple times because it would be on HBO in the mornings during the summer.
I think we only have one Travolta drop.
Pakistani pimp.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good
one. Need to get some from that from Parents with Love where he's the bald-headed assassin.
Yeah, that's what that's
some great lines in that.
Oh, here's another good one.
I can't believe how good this feels.
But Bill, I hope to one day meet you in person. That'd be great because we're the best of friends.
Jason comes over and cleans my bubble on the outside.
But
okay, Steven, it's all good. Can you see?
But I can't wait to meet you one day, Bill.
Yep, it's going to be fun. There's going to be like, I'm afraid we might create a singularity of geekiness. Like, once our hands shake, it's going to, like, a black hole's going to form.
I've envisioned it many times, and I always think of that scene at the end of Die Hard, John McClane and Al Powell. As they're hugging.
Some guy that's trying to kill you is going to come back alive, and I'm going to have to shoot him.
Bill, you don't kill anymore, and yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, because I shot a kid.
Alexander Gudinov. Awesome.
The guy from the Money Pit.
Lockner, otherwise known as Mulberry Bill of Nowhere in Mulberry.
That's like a station ID, Bill. He displays
everyone. I remember that episode. We reviewed The Expendables, and I believe I talked about Scott Pilgrim because they came out in the same day.
You did a show with Jordan McGrath, the 35mm Heroes.
He does have that great, like, almost Sean Connery-ish.
I think I do a good impression of him, but we'll have to hear from Jordan.
He's going to call in now.
All right, we have another voicemail, guys. This one from Sam. Let's check it out. Let's keep this thing rolling.
Hey, Mulberry guys. It's Sam from Rhode Island. I just wanted to call and say that I'm glad you guys are back. Bill, you hope you're feeling better. Steven, I hope you're sleeping better. And Jason, glad the tornado missed your house and everyone's one piece and healthy again. That's really about it. Have a good show, guys. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Sam. And that's right, Steven. Thanks. We haven't talked about that. Steven, you are now using a CPAP machine, right?
Correct.
CPAP or BiPAP?
I'm using a BiPAP.
Okay.
Okay, BiPAP. What's that like?
It was really different at first.
It takes a lot getting... There's a learning curve on it, about 2 weeks worth.
I'm still swallowing a lot of air, so I wake up gassy, you know, burping a lot.
Really? You know what's so strange is my doctor was warning me about that. My surgeon, he doesn't like putting people on the CPAP or BiPAP after surgery because it could blow out the stitches. And I've never had that problem, but it's interesting to hear that you are having that.
Yeah, it's the first week I didn't do it. The second week on it, this is my third week on it now, and it's starting to let up a little bit. And last week, really, really bad. You know, it would wake me up in the middle of the night. I'd feel like I just had I had to take the mask off, and I'd sit up and I'd burp for 15 minutes. You know, it seemed like. It wasn't that long, but
is there anything they can do for that? Or
digital recorder?
I go back next week, and I'm wondering if my pressure is too high or something on the machine.
That may be, yeah. So, what do they have you on?
1620.
Okay, that's what I'm on. I think I'm on 1822, but they've had me on 10 because they wouldn't put me higher than 10 over the past 2 weeks of surgery. And I've actually adapted to it. So I think if they lower it, I think you'd probably be better off.
Yeah, the weird thing is...
Do you feel like you're waking up more refreshed? Are you sleepy throughout the day?
I'm not sleepy at all through the day anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing what it does. Like, if you just let it work and then deal with the little issues, your day changes completely.
I kind of fight the masks sometimes. It starts getting a little... I guess the oily skin, you know. And
Have to constant. That's one of the worst things about a full face mask. Does it go just below your chin and above your nose, or do they have the nose on you?
No, it goes not below my chin, just above my chin. Oh, yeah, that covers my bottom mouth.
I mean, just below your lip.
Yeah,
like
breathing. And it's because I woke up and caught myself. I press my tongue against the top of my mouth and keep my mouth open. And that's how I was swallowing air. I woke up to that and I'm like going,
It's so strange. I've done that before. But it does help. It's amazing what it can do for, you know, your energy levels and just your sleep pattern in general.
Yeah, it's a lot better. It's almost harder for me to fall asleep on a plane now.
Yeah, it is because you feel like you need the mask.
No, not even that. It's just like because I'm mentally awake.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right.
I'm glad it's working for you. Sorry to get all technical there.
That is awesome, though.
And the other thing I've noticed is my little predator snort has kind of vanished.
Yeah. Because you're not, your muscles are probably a little tighter because you're awake. Like, it's not that kind of slumped over.
Yeah, I told Jason that. He goes, can you do it on purpose?
Yeah, I was like, the show's really going to suffer because of this, Steven. I'm really upset.
So I was like, yeah, I think I can still kind of do it. But, yeah, it's a lot better. And, like I said, next week I have to go back next Friday, and they got to look at my card to see if I'm having any more arrest or whatever, and...
You almost always do. I still have them, like little moments where I'll wake myself up from not breathing or something. So, yeah, that is cool. They got you one of the machines with the little SD card that you pop out.
Yeah.
And you can just take that in,
I'm just kind of hoping that maybe they got the pressure. Maybe they can lower it just a little bit and not too much. But maybe I'm just swallowing, swallowing the air is just my problem.
It's because it's delicious.
All right, guys, let's try another voicemail. Here's another Mike from Ireland voicemail. This is a more recent one.
Yay, Mike.
Excellent. Hi, guys. Bloody hell. Weeks and weeks and months to actually record a voicemail, and here I am doing it at the last minute, as per usual. It's Mike from Ireland, by the way. And I'm sort of semi-lying down because I'm tired. So I probably sound a bit funny. A bit nasal. But,
He's just so, checking like, their self-conscious Facebook on my phone. I see the
Hollywood Saloon is burned down again.
Oh, yeah.
They really, really need to get those electrics checked. Anyway.
The fire marshal is unhappy.
I have to say, absolutely brilliant to see you guys back. I have the old shows worn out from listening to them over and over again. And I hopefully You've got Bill with you. Hopefully he's recovering. I can see that he had a few complications of pain and things like that. It's a bitch of a surgery, so hopefully he's on the mend and everything's A-OK again. And I'm glad to see that Jason hasn't got blown away by tornadoes or anything like that. It just seems to be disaster zone at the moment. Anyway, as long as you've got a show tonight, well, maybe tonight, no pressure, but as long as you've got a show, then, you know, it's all good. It's all good. I've actually started writing down some of the clips. You know, I said a while ago on a voicemail that I'd write down clips from shows that I should have been in the best of. The Leftovers, Best of The Leftovers. I've actually been writing some of those down, so I must mail them on to you, Jason, during the week, during the coming week, so that you can, I don't know, maybe look at them, maybe I'll cut them out, I don't know, I'll see, time-wise. This is a really dull voicemail. Weeks and weeks of, like, you know, time to think about humorous things and things like that, and this is the best I can come up with. One of those clips, incidentally, is a voicemail from a fantastic episode, Skycap. I can't remember what number it was, but it's just a brilliant, a really, really funny episode of Mulberry, one of your best ever. The one where Stephen actually had to go home sick, not the one where he went home sick during the break, but the one where he went home sick after the DVD song. And he did multiple attempts at the DVD song, where he sort of messed it up the first time, he was choking, and the second time came in too strong. You know, and did the "Let's do the DVDs," followed by Jason's "Jesus Christ," which is absolutely hilarious. So funny that I was listening to it again last night in bed, and I was shaking with laughter. My wife was like, "Are you crying or laughing?"
Fantastic. Oh, I do that all the time.
Just inconsolable laughter, to be quite honest. Laughing is absolutely brilliant. But it's a really funny episode overall, because it has all the "Oh my God" in it and all that. So cool stuff. Anyway, listen, guys, absolutely brilliant if you're back. Probably given added fantasticness if you're back, when I can see something like the saloon seems to have, you know, blown up or decomposed or fallen down or
burned, it's first said, alert.
Yeah, so it really makes me appreciate Mulberry all the more. Not that I could appreciate it almost any more than I already do, which is a lot. There you go. Anyway, hey, you probably got a billion voicemails, so I'm going to go, and I look forward to hearing the show next week, hopefully. Or the week after. You know. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. And I've done that same thing where I'll listen to... I'll admit it. I listen to our show, like an old episode, to fall asleep to. Some random one, you know. Sometimes I'll put a handful on that I haven't heard in forever. And there was one the other night where I'm falling asleep. I'm going under. And it's me and Bill talking about, like, high school or something, and my sister embarrassing me, telling everyone I was watching G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, this drop plays, and I start laughing my ass off in bed as my wife's asleep, and I'm, like, trying not to, and I'm just shaking, like, violently, and she's like, What's going on? Or whatever. And
it was an earthquake.
And it was this.
Your shit's all retarded.
And I just lost it. And I was about to be asleep, and I just can't stop laughing. What are you doing? Nothing. Never mind. So
it almost sounds like Zerk in that clip.
Yeah, it's great.
But it's not. What is that from?
That's from Idiocracy.
Idiocracy.
He's hilarious in that small part, but he's hilarious. Now we have another voicemail. Let's get this rolling. Now, Bill, tell me, whenever you need to take a break, tell me and we will, okay?
I'm good right now. I actually muted my microphone during one of the last voicemails and readjusted, so okay. I'm good.
All right, we got an Adam voicemail. We haven't heard from Adam in a long time.
Adam sent me one of the nicest gifts. I'll talk about it after the voicemail.
Okay, let's check this out. That's awesome.
It's Friday, 17th of February. No, we're in Mulberry. It's gonna happen tonight. That was me crying. I'm upset.
I thought he was playing a theremin.
And I just want to say, I just finally finished listening to the episode of Nim. I believe it was titled FUBAR. Friendly,
he was making
unfair.
Up the February part.
I'm not even going to attempt to come up with the rest of it. But I just want to let you guys know that I'm saddened to hear that it's going to be a month's break before any new NIM And I just wanted to say that, Bill, you were not right for getting Emma so excited about Human Centipedes. Oh, my gosh. I just pray that that doesn't come on Netflix and she attempts to watch it while Jason's in the other room editing clips or something like that. So anyways, I just was calling to say that I'm saddened that there will be no NIMH tonight. And I got to say, I was really stoked on the reoccurring episodes week to week. It was good. Well, enjoyed the month off. Hopefully you guys will be all fired up and ready to rock and roll mid-March. March Madness. Hey, that's a pretty clever title.
Wow, this was a long time ago.
Okay, goodbye.
Wow, thanks, Adam.
Yeah, the moment I brought up the Human Centipede 2 thing, I regretted it. I was like, oh, no, where am I going to take this?
I thought he was joking. Was that really February?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy Christ.
We were pretty much all gone in March, so.
March, no shows. Wow. So Adam sent you a lovely gift. What was
he
that?
Did. I got a couple really nice things. I got some beautiful flowers from you and your wife and your daughter, and I still have the flowers have deceased, yet I still have the bear holding on to the vase here in my room, and I have pixie sticks in them because I bought those big plastic ones for my niece. Uh-huh. So I put pixie sticks in them. But Adam sent me one of his custom painted Nintendo 64s.
That is awesome.
It's a red, yellow, and blue. It's like a Mario colors. And it's gorgeous. And he sent me a gold controller and the plug and the video connections. And he sent me Zelda Ocarina of Time because he remembered on a show that we did. He said he had finished it. And I said that I would have to get it out of storage to play it again because I never finished it myself.
Wow.
And he sent it to me. I was genuinely moved, and the greatest thing is I'm taking the stuff out of the box, and there's the first letter saying, you know, hope you get well, and then there's the gift, and then there's another letter which was really touching, and him or his son and himself made me. There's like these, you know, those little like color plastic things that you can arrange and then bake and they melt together.
Yes.
Kind of. He made me the most perfect Dr. Mario and four pills. If you remember that NES game.
Yeah.
And it like moved me. I had tears in my eyes and it was just so awesome. And I'm going to take that Dr. Mario and the pills. And I actually, Dr. Mario was one of the last Nintendo Entertainment System games I bought. And I still have the box and the game in perfect condition, and I'm going to frame them with the what Adam and his son Lawrence made for me.
Nice. You know, so, Adam and Lawrence sent Emma a Sonic of that same thing.
That's so cool. I mean, it's really cool. Like the pixel art. I love it.
Yeah.
I could decorate my house in video game pixel art, and then people would look at me weird.
You know, Adam's—he's a really nice guy, and he's a dear friend of the show.
He's awesome. I'm awesome.
I'm gonna say he's the one of the sweetest people.
He really is. I've never encountered a nicer guy. Just really, he's just so cool. I was genuinely moved by the gift. I'm speechless.
So we're sending out like a phonic hug to you, Adam.
Yeah, that's right, as good as we can get right now. We're hugging you in the Bay Area.
I'm patting you on the back doing that. You know, there's nothing better than a good hug and then the pat on the back, you know. That's what I'm giving you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you just need that little extra.
That's right. Thank you, Adam. And we have a Julian voicemail. Only one more after this, and it's one of our dear friends. So, Julian, you know, he's the guy who did he did mashups of Spartacus and Kitchen Nightmares. He's the one who did the Lethal Weapon video on YouTube. So,
he
did some really cool stuff for us, and we don't hear from him that often, but when we do, it's awesome. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, it's Julian. First off, the voicemail message said that I could send my fax now, so I guess it's a fax number as well. I'm
yes,
hoping
sir.
That this is the right number. I've called this a few times, so. Anyway, so I'm on the freeway right now driving home, and I figured I'll just – I'm stuck in traffic right now downtown L.A., so maybe you guys know what that's like. Anyway, just wanted to go ahead and call and leave this message while I'm still thinking about it. I listened to your podcast after you guys came back, and so sad that Jason's not going to be doing the Enhanced podcast anymore. I mean, on behalf of everyone else who has been, grateful for it, hey, Jason, thank you so much for even doing those in the first place.
Oh, you're welcome.
Really, really cool of you to do that, and I loved it. I mean, I cannot tell you how helpful they were when I was doing all those mashups of Spartacus and, you know, Ramsey shows. Having those Enhanced podcasts, knowing exactly where to go as far as time was concerned, it really helped, and I really appreciate it. But I can understand also, because I have done Enhanced podcasts myself, obviously, what a pain in the ass those are to do. So, hey, I appreciate it. I think we all appreciate it. We love you for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just one little note, though. Would it be possible to maybe, just put the times in the show notes, or not the show notes, but in the lyric section, for example, so that when you listen to the episode on the iPod or the iPhone, you can press the screen and then it'll show the times listed right there on the screen the way lyrics are shown. So, you know, just a thought, whether you want to do it or not, regardless, it's all good. Second thing is, I know you guys were kind of bashing the Star Wars trailer. I'll be honest, I never listened to that trailer. I never heard it. I never saw it. Trailer that I saw was just a straightforward trailer saying that it's out there in 3D, you know, whatever. I saw it today, and the reason I saw it today was, I'm not out there to fill George Lucas's pockets any further. I didn't even
blasphemer!
For the Star Wars movies. But the reason I saw it in theaters was because I just never saw any of the 6 Star Wars movies in theaters, ever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's a good excuse. Yeah, I'll accept that excuse.
So I never went to the movies, and even when I was, in high school in the 90s, I never went to the movies then either. So I never saw the re-releases back in 97. And then when the prequels started coming out, I just didn't feel like ever seeing them then either. So, yeah, so with these 6 movies getting re-released in 3D, I figured, you know what? It's time to just go ahead and watch them now. So I saw it today. It was still terrible, obviously, and the 3D didn't really do anything. But whatever. It kind of felt special, nonetheless, to actually sit in a movie theater and see that stuff on a big screen, even though there was only half a dozen people in there with me. So whatever.
Oh, wow.
One more note regarding the Star Wars movie. As I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, that's Liam Neeson on the big screen. And this was a movie that he made before he became a badass, which I kind of thought was kind of funny. Also, here it is February. I already just saw Liam Neeson, a couple weeks before in The Gray. He's got the Wrath of the Titans movie coming out next month. And he's one of those guys that seems to be in everything. And even a movie like Star Wars, which he was in, 13 years ago, it's getting re-released. He's in another movie in 2012. So add that to the list. Anyway,
that's all
I wanted to talk about. It's good to hear you guys are back. And, I'll keep listening. And I'm glad you're going to be covering Spartacus Vengeance. Talk to you later. Bye.
We kind of failed him there, but...
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But thanks, Julian.
We'll let the fate decide.
I loved Liam Neeson, but he was a badass from Darkman, baby.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
He had a badass resurgence with, what was that, Taken?
Yeah.
And originally he was never going to take that film. He wasn't going to take the part. In fact, he turned it down a couple times. And then his wife, Natasha, I can't remember her last name.
Richardson.
Richardson, yeah. Encouraged him to take it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, she really kind of, I guess in a way that was kind of her final gift, the new career. And I'm sure all he's wanted to do is work after that
funny.
Happened.
I was about to play a funny drop until you mentioned his wife. He's passed away.
Yes, sorry.
I was like,
what, he has AIDS?
I am Bill Lochner, otherwise known as Mulberry Bill of Nowhere in Mulberry.
I've got full-blown AIDS.
All right. So we got another voicemail. That was Foggy, not me. I decided not to play it. But we've got one final voicemail, Bill and Steven. It's Rick. Let's see what Rick's up to. I miss this guy.
I know.
What the hell's he been up to? Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah, I'm going pretty good. It's a lovely Friday afternoon. Sitting outside. Rain's falling.
Wow, it's raining on his voice.
Nice, cool weather. I'm having a lovely time.
That's a new prerequisite.
The other week you asked me, right, how are you doing? How's life? How's Australia? You know, do I have a vision board?
A vision board?
And then Bill said something that cracked me up. Talk about stuff that's painful. And that actually did make me laugh out loud because, you know, life can be full of interesting, painful things.
Yeah.
Part two. So I almost made a vision board like years and years ago. I've heard about it somewhere and I was like, yeah, it seemed like a good idea. I'm going to get a vision board and put all this shit on it. And I never made it, luckily, because that is some gay shit.
Yes.
Vision board, I'm sorry. It's just kind of weird to me. Anyway, it just cracked me up that I knew what a vision board was. And how's life? How's Australia? Okay. Start with Australia. I have no idea how Australia's doing. I'm assuming it's all right because there's no riots in the streets.
Excellent.
As I drive around and go about my business, I can't see the place falling apart. So I'm assuming it's doing good. The reason I say this is because I don't know what's going on in Australia. I don't read the newspaper. I don't watch TV. Don't watch the news. My TV isn't even connected to the aerial. I don't receive any free-to-air TV or pay TV or anything. I just got my PlayStation, play games. If I want to watch a movie, I'll go get a movie. TV, I'll stream it online for free. So I don't know what's going on in the world, which is good. Ignorance is bliss.
It really is.
I don't need to complicate my life any further. But shit that doesn't affect me directly. And although some things might, it doesn't really matter. If my, anyway, doesn't matter. Life in general, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty complicated. I might have to make that a part three. So I can kind of like write down and kind of get all the important facts in there, make it even-sided instead of one. Because the reason I don't talk about, like, personal shit, not because I don't want to talk about it. I don't mind. I'll tell anybody on the street my personal business. I don't care. Because, you know, confident strangers, all that shit. But it's good to know that you guys care. You know, you guys are sweethearts that you actually care about me. So that's nice. So tune in for part three where I go into detail about my life. And be careful because that shit might get heavy. And this is a lighthearted show. You know, you guys are just
I'm ready.
Entertaining, and this shit might bring it down a notch. I'll try to balance it out, but get ready. Get a tissue ready.
Oh.
Hey, guys, this is part four. Part four. I just listened back to part three, and I was like, this show's pretty, like, lighthearted, and I want it to be fun for people, so part three might not be the best. If there is enough people that are like, yeah, let me hear this number three. I want to hear what happened with your shit, bro. Then I'll send it next week if people actually want to. So. But people have to request. Voicemailers. Put in your voicemail.
No, delete it. Don't send it to anyone.
Otherwise, it won't be sent. But
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So good to have you back, guys. It's been far too long. And Bill, glad to hear you're doing well. Love you, man. Kisses. Everybody have a great show. So this is Rick from Australia. Goodbye.
Thanks, Rick. Hugs, Rick.
Yeah, you know, I don't I guess maybe I should have phrased it differently whenever we were talking about it, like what's going on, how's life, all that. It's personal. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we know stuff that's, you know, going on that we probably shouldn't even know. You know, it's just like, Rick, keep it, you know, don't let anybody in on it. We just know that we're there for you, and we love you, and we love your voicemails, and you're awesome. And kisses.
Yes, hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
If he wants a kiss, okay.
You give him. I'll give him a cuddle.
Yeah.
Rick likes to cuddle.
But now, Rick's just one of those awesome guys that he's so creative and he's so intense that I would just love to go down to Australia one time and just hang out with him for a weekend.
Yeah, well, I've seen videos of him and his friends, and I don't think I could handle it. I think
I look at it, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I could do that, but I'd try.
They look like they have so much energy that I don't have.
Do they like have energy drinks that in the water in Australia?
Yeah, that's what, like in Australia, energy drink, and it's just water.
They don't put fluoride in their water. They put Monster Energy.
I guess that's what they do. But that's great. Thanks. It's so great to hear from all these people again, wasn't it, Bill?
It is. You know, it's like family. You're getting back in touch.
How are you feeling right now, Bill? Are you hanging in there? Or
good. I'm good. I'm just chilling. I'm adjusting. I've got one leg bent, one leg out. I'm chilling. I'm all right. Nothing's worn off yet.
All right. Well, let's do entertainment. I want to talk about a couple of things, okay?
All right. Let's do it after an hour and 20 minutes.
Jeez, I know. Entertainment. We're going to talk about shows. Like,
I got to say, that Prometheus Cake Boss, Kitchen Boss thing, classic. Just another classic bit that goes down in the annals of nowhere in Mulberry.
It's so funny that I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know what my weird fascination is with Cake Boss either.
Well, it's the fascination. Well, one, he's just fascinating. It's like watching a court jester.
Yeah.
And two, the in everything is just so
ridiculous.
It's like we talked the last movie we both saw on the same day was Chronicle, and three of the trailers in a row all had that.
Yeah, it just starts to crack you up after a while. And they all have they do the build-up of the bomb, but then there's something that goes.
Yeah.
And you got a
it's like, just stop it already.
Yeah. It's a whole.
You're not selling the movie to me.
It just cracks me up now where I laugh through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen a couple of movies since we last did a show. Like John Carter came and went. Huge flop. Enjoyed it,
which is criminal. I mean, I don't understand. You know, I saw it, and luckily I saw it in 2D because from what I saw in the 2D, the 3D really wouldn't have added anything.
No, it doesn't really, but it's fine. It didn't bother
but
me.
I thought it was fun. I ranked it up there with like kind of almost a Indiana Jones type of film, just
adventure
and excitement and romance.
And it's got a tight group of friends, companions.
Yeah,
you know?
It was just really, it was a blast. And yeah, it has its flaws. It's not a perfect film,
no.
But by no means did it deserve to flop so hard. I don't get why people were being so negative on it before release. I don't understand why Disney didn't play up the adventure of it.
Turns out the guy's kind of a pussy.
It just,
no,
I don't, no, he was, and come on, Woola is probably one of the greatest animal characters in a film that I've seen in the past 10 years.
You know what drives me nuts, though? One of my pet peeves throughout my life, even when I was a kid, is when someone hears of a movie like, oh, you should go see this movie. oh, I heard that was a real flop. First of all, how good a movie is never has anything to do with how much money it made.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know that. So why does everyone react to that, even though we all know it? Think of all of your favorite movies. Name five of your favorite movies of all time. I guarantee you, you don't know the box office take. You don't even know if it was a flop or not. It doesn't matter to how good the movie is. Most of my favorite movies, I have no idea how well they did at the box office, you know?
Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, you know, something like John Carter, you know, everyone knows it cost all this money and didn't make any money. All I know is this. When it comes out on Blu-ray and I own it, I don't give a shit. It's just unfortunate I'll never get to see it.
And I'm – yeah, exactly. I'm upset that I'm never going to be able to see the next film. And there's so many great moments in it. I just don't – and I thought – it's like I told you over and over again whenever they first announced that they were going to do it that Taylor Kitsch was the perfect man to play John Carter because he's a Southern gentleman, and that's who he was in the books. And then the way he adapts to the environment and everything, I thought he was great.
There's a scene in it where he's deciding to fight and he's thinking back to his family and stuff that was great build up and Michael Giacchino's score. Perfect. I think the movie is worth watching just for that scene right there.
Yeah, I was just really disappointed, and it further upset me that the geek audience couldn't come out in force. I know John Carter's a series of books that I think should be more important in the geek lexicon, because it was like you read John Carter and you go, whoa, when were these written? This is like the themes and the tales are so futuristic and so well imagined that you have a hard time realizing that these were written so early.
I guarantee you when it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD that there will be a rash of "this isn't so bad" from people who didn't go see
it. But I just feel like it should have gotten more attention. And then the following week you have the Hunger Games stuff. And I mean, you got people lined out outside, and I read the book and it's okay. It's a little boring. It's a little pedestrian, but it's okay. I just don't get how something like that can get so much love, and something based on material that has been paid homage to so many times doesn't.
It wasn't in the people's
I guess people just aren't aware of it. Or when they should be.
I mean, there's a lot of people that it is special to, but it wasn't to that many people. And the Hunger Games thing, it's kind of crazy. I was trying to think about it myself, where maybe the daughter bought the book and read it and then said, "Mom, you might like this." Then she gave it to the dad or the brother.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I read the thing too, and I thought it was decent. The main thing that I liked about it is I liked the main character, and it is about time that there's a
strong female character.
A strong female character, because I mean, I even told this to Heather when I've watched a couple of the Twilight films. The whole second movie is her thinking about killing herself because her friggin' vampire boyfriend has moved away.
Yeah,
that is a horrible role model for a girl. A teenage girl.
The entire series, she's like that.
Like, I can't live without you. No, Katniss, she can live without whoever, and she's got a bow and arrow, can shoot people. I think that's a much better role model. You know?
Well, but also, it's a self-sustaining girl who picks up where her parents left off.
Right.
And it's like you either live or you die.
And I have no problem with that. And I enjoyed the film, and I am one of those people that I hate when people complain about shaky cam. There was too much shaky cam. It bothered me at the beginning of the movie. There's too much shaky cam when there didn't need to be. And I've read recently that the director, Gary Ross, I believe, that he's not going to do the sequel. And people are like, "Oh no." And I'm like, "No, that's okay. Because maybe there'll be less shaky cam."
Does he think he's Paul Greengrass?
I thought they did a really good job with the movie, and it was well made. It wasn't, you know, like a Twilight film. You know, people only compare them because they're the young adult books, but they're nothing related to them at all.
Well, the only problem I really had with the book is it felt like it was written by a teenager. It felt like it was written by a teen for teens.
Well, see, that I think I think it's very well written, but what you're talking about, it's done in the third, or is it the first person, where she's telling the story, yeah. You know?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's,
it
it's
is.
A young girl, so I think it's shaky there, you know?
Yeah, so, but I thought some of the violence in it was really intense and gross. Like the burns and the tracker jackers.
Yeah. Have
and
you seen the film yet?
No.
Oh, that's cool. I'd like to see what you think of that.
I saw it was PG-13, and I was like, well, of course it has to be.
Yeah, yeah. They want right. They want all the kids to go see it, you know?
Yeah. And there's certain things I want to see how they handle, like the announcements at night and all that stuff. I just – because I have a certain way I picture it in my mind.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times, like – the other books creep into my mind, like when Katniss is in the tree and she sees Rue across the way and she points out the Tracker Jacker nest and all that.
Uh-huh.
In my mind, I see the forest from the Dark Tower. Which one was that? The Wastelands where they encounter the bear?
Right, right. Shardik.
Yeah, I'm seeing these trees as like these gigantic redwoods and all this. I just
there are some things where it was different than I imagined it, and it's not a bad thing. But I sometimes wonder, like, did I misunderstand what I read like something like that? Sometimes you read something real fast, you don't pick up on a little detail. But I think it's a pretty decent adaptation.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
I love Jennifer Lawrence. I've told you that basically this role that she's playing, she's played before in the film Winter's Bone that she was nominated
which
for an
I still
Oscar
need
for.
To see. Yeah.
And it's you know, the girl that is the tough one that has to take care of her little sister, little brother, mom is non-existent basically.
Yeah,
just,
she's definitely got some chops.
Oh, and she's just I think she's gorgeous.
Yes, she is.
And just, but so I'll watch it. I just don't think I'm going to go to the theater to see it. There's too many movies coming out that I want to see that I would rather see.
Now's the time to see in the theater because everyone has seen it already, I think.
And I won't have to like hide my face. Like,
what about, movie for everybody.
Okay.
And there's all
right.
shapes and sizes.
It just has that stigma
ages.
To it.
I don't think there is, honestly. This is beyond like Twilight,
yeah,
I think.
It's a phenomena.
It's mass
yeah.
audience, yeah. And yeah. I was sitting there, because it's a serious movie too, you know? And
yeah, it is. Well, the book is all about, you know, controlling governments. And
that's what I kept thinking of, because it's a sci-fi story.
Yeah, it's dystopian sci-fi.
You have these kids, these teenagers, these girls, and I would say there's no kind of mushy type stuff, I didn't think. It's
the
out of necessity.
The book has some weird mushiness.
Yeah, it's out of necessity, I think, and it's not really played up, I don't think.
No, no.
Good.
No.
There's nothing that made me, like, you know.
The one thing I have heard about it that I've read is that the book and the film are called The Hunger Games, and yet it seems like no one's starving.
I've read some people complain that Jennifer Lawrence doesn't look skinny enough. It's like, what? Who cares? Give me
it's not even that. It's I remember there's one big scene when they first get on the train to go to Capital City, and her and PETA are just gorging themselves. And they said in the movie there's no food.
Yeah,
there's
actually, now that you mention it, in the book, food is a very important role in the book.
Food is huge
it's
in the book.
It's described to a T, like so detailed about the food she's eating, even the food she makes herself at home and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not in the movie, really, which I don't know how you would do it, but that's the part of the book that I enjoyed about the food.
Yeah. So I don't – it's weird. I'll see it, but, you know, I have other things that I've got to get done first.
Right. Titanic 3D, Bill?
I want to see it. I was too cynical, too snarky, too teenager to see it in the theater. I didn't yet have an appreciation for James Cameron, and I want to see it. I want to see what he's done. I don't know if I want to sit through 200 minutes worth of 3D.
Have you seen Titanic, though?
The film?
On DVD?
Oh, God, yeah, millions of times.
Okay.
I just didn't see it on the big screen when it was first released, and it's a movie that kind of demands that.
When I of course was huge James Cameron freak as a teenager, and so when Titanic came out, saw it opening day before the backlash started. I mean, remember the movie made a gazillion dollars. Everyone saw it. But right. the whole thing, just like Avatar, to start shitting on it, right?
Right.
And I'll admit the Celine Dion song, I could do without that. It's powerful or whatever. But
and when you read about how James Cameron didn't want a song... And Howard Shore basically...
Or was it James Horner?
James Horner basically, you know, snipered him on it. Like, oh, I'm going to do this in the background and then reveal it to him.
Yeah, and then he was, like, kind of welled up or whatever. He's like, okay, you know?
Yeah, and then he knew exactly the buttons to push
right.
on James Cameron, because James Cameron is ultimately a softie.
And I'll admit, if anyone else was singing it, it wouldn't be as gay. You know, get somebody else to sing it, you know. Tori Amos or something, Steve. Wouldn't that have been cool?
I would have done it.
Not Celine Dion, but anyway.
Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a set of pipes on her. But Titanic, I think, is a really good film. And yeah, it has the romance thing and you're like sappy or whatever. When I saw it, I welled up at the end or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
God, yeah.
And it was before I knew, oh, it's supposed to be gay to feel anything to this. So it was before I knew. So there you go.
At the very end when she passes away and then goes down, you know, the water. God, man.
The way when Leonardo DiCaprio, the way he sinks into the water was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole playback at the end where you see everyone's back alive and going down the hall, that will just kill you, you know? It's well done, man.
You know, I know you're gay.
Hey, stop it.
You like Titanic. I really enjoyed it. And it's a movie that we haven't gotten on Blu-ray yet. The last edition we got was that super case edition in the blue case, and it was spread over two DVDs.
The movie takes a lot out of you. I'm not sure I could
exhausting.
Own it and watch it. Yeah, it is. It's exhausting to see a lot of people die and stuff. But I always love the old couple laying in the bed together.
You know what's great about that is that if you read the history of it, that was actually how those two people were found, and they were the owners of Macy's department store.
Wow. So they just chose, let's lay here together and just go out like that.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
I mean, there's so many great little detailed stories.
And it was very accurate, too.
Yeah, it was. And there's... I was reading a bunch of stuff about Titanic the other night because now he's gonna also release that that research film doing on it. Or no, it's on Discovery or something. It's called Titanic: The Final Word.
Right.
It's been seen advertisements for, and I love that stuff. I am. It's intoxicating, his enthusiasm for certain things.
Oh yeah, his brain is on. Just functioning at a different level than mine. Yeah, like,
did those dives in the Challenger Deep, the deepest point in the Marianas Trench?
Yeah, he did that recently, and he.
Yeah, I mean, come on,
he took
dude!
3D cameras down there with him to do it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see whatever that footage is.
He's crazy, he's not afraid of anything. So I think it's funny. Like people take the time to bash him. It's like he doesn't care. He's going to keep moving forward. And
when Avatar came out, I mean, it's a genuine film about the concern of how we're treating our planet.
Yeah,
and
be like, oh, damn hippie or whatever. But he did do a really cool way of preaching it to you, where you know he didn't come out and just tell you. He made a kick-ass 3D movie that everyone can pan later.
And then when he goes to a native tribe, that is very similar to how he described the Na'vi, you know, people give him shit for it. Like, you know, look at this tree-hugging climate asshole.
Even if you don't care about any of that shit, I still think the entire ending of that movie, the climax and the battle scene, is bad. Completely badass.
Oh, God,
the whole Quaritch fight and all that. He knows how to do action better than anybody.
And the extended version of it, the stuff it adds to the story, like Grace's story and the school and all that stuff, it's fantastic.
You know, I've never watched that, and I own it, and I'm going
to
watch
it. The extended cut is such a great film. The stuff we get on Earth before he leaves and all that, it's really, really good.
Okay, I'm going to watch it because I have it. And you know what, Bill? I haven't talked about this, but during our break, I bought a new television.
Yes, you did.
I got rid of my rear projection LCOS TV, the JVC. It's liquid crystalline silicon. It's a kind of LCD, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rear projection would fill with dust or whatever. And I got a 64-inch Samsung plasma. And I went there intending to get the Panasonic, right? And I was sitting in the darkened room as Avatar was playing. And I had two panties, and then to the side was
panties?
Panasonic.
Oh, okay.
Panaphonics, and then there was the Samsung over, and I just kept turning and looking. I went there to buy the Panasonic, Bill, you know, the inexpensive one that was on
the
sale.
ST?
Yeah, the ST30,
mm-hmm.
And it was 65-inch, and I kept looking over, and I was like, damn it, that Samsung just looks so much nicer.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. I've heard it has better colors.
It really did.
Just sharper.
And I looked, and it was a good price. And Steven was there looking at it with me. And the guy comes in, and he goes, and, you know, the Panasonics don't come with a 3D player or glasses or anything. You pay extra for those, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, the Samsung, that's pretty good. And because I was asking about the panties, go, tell me something about this Samsung. What's funny is all the research I did for like a couple of weeks, Bill, was all on Panasonic. I'd done none on the Samsung, right?
Always how it works.
And he goes, well, this one comes with a 3D Blu-ray player and two pairs of glasses. And Steven behind me goes, sold. It's like, Steven, come on.
Well, you were the other one came with the 3D player and one pair of glasses. And the glasses were $100 a piece.
Yeah, the Panasonic didn't come with wire.
I thought it did.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't come with just the set.
It just comes with one set of glasses in with the set.
Oh, did it? I didn't think it came with anything.
Yeah, because I said another pair of glasses at $100.
And see, I told myself, I don't care about 3D, just want the TV. But then when he said that, it's like, oh, okay. And it's only $100 more than the Panasonic. So I was like, all right.
For another pair of glasses, you got this TV with two pair of glasses.
After years and years of just us talking about it, Bill,
mm-hmm.
I was so sick of that other TV, and I'm just happy I got it. Every day I look at the TV, and I'm just like, man, I'm still wowed by it. It's plasma is a pretty badass technology, you know?
It is.
Just the way it looks and everything. And
I'm so tired of waiting. Like, yeah, every year I'm like, oh, CES is coming up. What's the new ones?
And you know what? I've watched Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs with Emma in 3D, and I was worried I wouldn't be able to sit through a whole movie, but we did, and I thought it was pretty cool. And that ties into – I love Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's like one of my favorite kids' films ever. I just think it's hilarious, and there's so many moments I love. But Steven and I and Heather, we went to see 21 Jump Street. And it looked funny enough, and I'll go see it and want to laugh. But I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was really well done. And I had no idea that it was the directors of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs who did 21 Jump
Street. Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And I was like, that's why I love it. There's just that weird detail, something about the timing or something that I loved.
Co-written by Jonah Hill.
Yeah, and technically it's a story by Jonah Hill, so I think somebody else punched it up.
But
I don't want to give him too much credit, but he was funny in the movie, so I'll hand it to the guy. He's an Oscar-nominated actor, Bill.
Yeah, you believe that shit?
Oh, man.
I mean, I liked Moneyball. I thought it was really good, but no.
You know, I saw Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy with Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch is great in that. He should have been nominated for...
He is probably one of the best actors we have right now.
He's fantastic.
He is intense.
And it's why, as we had, you know, Heather, I was like, when are we going to watch Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy? And it became a song. I was like, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. And I just wanted to have like this old-fashioned song to it because it's such a good... Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. But, Bill, Rock of Fire Explosion, we're going to have to take a break. This is ridiculous. And are you doing okay, Bill?
I'm good. I've been switching positions just fine. This
explosion of words come pouring out of our mouths.
I know. We take so much time off, and there's so much that we want to talk about.
I know. Like, a while back, I don't know if it was a year ago, I saw a trailer on YouTube for Rock of Fire Explosion. And all I knew was about people who are obsessed with the band Rock of Fire Explosion from Showbiz Pizza. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to see that. You know, it looks neat. And on the trailer, it's like, dude, who are these people who are into this, you know? And one thing I'll say about the movie is it probably easily could have made fun of them, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's what I appreciated the most out of it.
It doesn't make fun of, you know, that they're whoever's
the collectors.
Yeah, like the main guy, I forget his name, but isn't he in Alabama?
Is it like Kevin Rash or something?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And he's you know, he's a dork.
He's a hillbilly with a really, really obvious receding hairline. And
yeah, and he's a...
He seems
like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's just kind of dorky.
But the happiest time in his life when he was a child was Showbiz Pizza watching the Rock of Fire explosion. And why was it special? And it goes into the detail and stuff that went into it from the inventor of the Rock of Fire explosion, who's this kind of crazy kind of... I thought he was kind of hippie-ish.
He's very eccentric.
Yeah, but he's the guy's a genius, though.
Yeah, he's kind of like one of those tortured geniuses that believes so strongly in his creations that it's a detriment to himself.
And did you see, like, he was inventing an electric car, too? That's what he's working on
for
the longest time. And the documentary is about the fans of Rock of Fire and him. And it's really interesting in how... I remember when I was a kid when I heard of Chuck E. Cheese and I was like, mm-hmm. Whoa, what is this? And we went there and it was really awesome. And then there was Showbiz and I can't remember. Eventually I did go to a Showbiz and I remember the gorilla guy mainly out of everything. I just remember that image.
Because he's frightening.
Yeah, it is.
I was scared
crazy shitless
of that dude.
But I think I honestly did think it was better, and it really was better.
It was better. It was. And, you know, they had complaints that whenever Showbiz and Chuck E. Cheese merged and they changed all the Showbiz to the Chuck E. Cheese bands, it was lame. They started doing, like, chipmunk versions of songs.
Yeah, and they were like, okay, we could lose these robots. And basically what happened is they opened, like, nationwide all at the same time, and it was state of the art and it was badass. It was really cool and entertaining, but then they weren't making enough money. And they started
That time of the death of the arcade.
Yeah.
You know, the mid 80s whenever people just weren't doing video games anymore.
And you know what's funny is like we had a birthday of Emma at Chuck E. Cheese. We went a couple times. You know, we went actually a lot of times early on because, you know, not only would she have her birthday there, but a classmate would, you know, etc. And I would just be like, God, Chuck E. Cheese is so lame. It seemed so cool when I was a kid. And I know it's good old day syndrome, but still, it did seem like that way. But when you watch this documentary, you're like, it was better back then.
It was. There was more games. There was more cooler stuff. I mean, it was when I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese and being fascinated because it was the only place that had that Afterburner game that was like a pod that you got in.
The one John Connor plays in TV.
Yeah, exactly. It was Chuck E. Cheese was the only place to play those sort of games back then.
Right.
And they always had the coolest, the latest, or the best. And it was just funner. You had the racquetball guns, the air guns that you could shoot stuff, and the skee ball, and the
it was
awesome. The pizza sucked. It still sucks.
But I remember as a kid, the smell of the pizza, and even you're playing games, and you can hear the band in the background, just the atmosphere. You know, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was awesome. Now it's I think a lot of stuff. There's a certain lameness to childhood now, and that when we were kids, you could turn on network TV, watch cartoons that were, you know, really out there, you know, like the
Cartoon
Saturday
network
Supercade or Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, I would say there's a trade-off there because then, you know, you also have like Cartoon Network, which it's got some stuff that's cool, you know?
Yeah, but this was Saturday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, network television. Back then when we were kids, cable wasn't that prevalent.
Because we talk about, like, nostalgia so important to me, I wonder, I'll, like, sit and watch my daughter and wonder, what will her special memories be when she's older? And I wonder stuff like that.
Yeah, I was a little older, so I wasn't into Chuck E. Cheese. I liked Crystal's Palace.
Remember that one?
That was a Texas regional thing, though, right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. There's something about the big pizza, you can sit there and watch the big screen. Yeah,
movies,
cartoons and stuff.
Cartoons.
You showed me a YouTube video of one that was still open that looked like it had seen better days and still had the cartoon screen.
Yelp reviews of it. The pizza's horrible and stuff like that. The place just looked grimy, and it's like they're stuck in the 80s, I guess. But Rock of Fire Explosion, Netflix streaming, everyone should check it out. I mean, it's just in 4x3. It's not HD or anything, but it's really worth checking out. I think it's neat.
I think it's really about the things you loved when you were a kid and holding on to those things.
Right.
It's a poignant film. Anybody could understand it. Even if you never had Rock of Fire Explosion, you feel like you did after the film.
When the guy opens the door and reveals that he has the Rock of Fire Explosion in basically a shack in his backyard, you know, he has like a second like shack. I mean, it's air conditioned, right? But
yeah,
he opens that up and he has them in there and he can play any song he wants and program or whatever. That's pretty cool.
That place is probably better maintained than his actual home.
Yeah, he spends more time in there. It's just funny.
The hair on.
So it's
no, he was at one point. He's in there like messing with the masks and the hair,
he, like,
and
he goes through and cleans
the whole bodysuit of that bear. That
yeah,
just it. It's really it's it, interesting and strange and good.
How interesting people are.
Mm-hmm.
People who are holding on to those things that. They remembered stuff. Okay, well, that is entertainment, Bill. And what do you guys want to do? You want to do a break or go right into TiVo and talk about a couple of things?
Let's take a break. I need to get something to drink.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, guys. Well, hell, we may even take a couple of breaks, right, Bill?
Possibly.
All right, we'll be right back, guys. Hold on, let me get adjusted here, Steven. I haven't done the show in a while, Bill. Sorry. All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Yappy McYapster.
The Woody Woodpecker Show. We'll be right back.
Comrade, look! Tyco military super blocks. They're building the motorized amphibian that goes on land and water.
But Lego doesn't have...
They're building the ground to air defender.
But Lego doesn't have...
And the copter sky crane.
But we've got Lego.
They've got Tyco. We've got trouble.
Tyco super blocks. They work with Lego, too. Military adventure super blocks. 9 building sets. Only from Tyco.
Make your heart a slider. So come on now, give them your best shot. Sliders, sliders,
sliders through the edge. Don't go over the ledge.
Sliders,
give them your best shot.
Sliders,
if you think you're hot. Sliders,
sliders.
It's sliders, and the one that's closest to the edge wins.
Sliders,
give them your best shot.
Sliders.
Lucky's hiding down one of his colorful roads with his delicious Lucky Charms.
Which road? Hearts? Stars? Moons? Clovers? Diamonds? Horseshoes? Lucky, we need a clue.
Just take the road of the charm that grows.
Grows? Green clovers grow.
Let's go!
Yikes!
Got him!
Love these marshmallowy Lucky Charms.
Mmm! Part of this complete breakfast.
Smart kids, I'll send you a real four-leaf clover charm with your name on it free with 2 proofs of purchase.
Visit beautiful Bedrock with your crazy host, Fred Flintstone. Saturday morning at 8:30 on Channel 2.
Dinosaurs, come on!
Capture the dinosaurs!
Don't drop and stop the dinosaurs!
It's the dinosaur hunt!
Chef Boyardee, dinosaurs!
Dinosaurs from Chef Boyardee. Tasty, wholesome pasta that's a dinosaur hunt. Because first one to capture all 3 dinosaur shapes wins!
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee. Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. And dinosaurs with meatballs.
Dinosaurs.
Turn up the turbo and let them go. Doing tricks.
Transfer turbo tricksters.
Rocket Stars Racers gonna put on a show. Doing tricks.
Transfer turbo tricksters.
New turbo
Tricksters. Over 45 power-packed racers that do hundreds of killer stunts. Pull them back and pop in a penny for wild wheelie action. Or race your friends.
You're on!
Through any stunt challenge.
To win tricks. Turbo Tricksters.
Yeah. Racers sold separately. New from Tonka.
When you buy McDonald's Mickey's Birthday Land Happy Meal, you'll get one of five Disney character pullback racers. Mickey's Red Roadster, Minnie's Convertible, Goofy's Sports Car, Pluto's Runabout, and Donald's Locomotive. McDonald's Mickey's Birthday Land Happy Meal. You can collect all five.
Are these your drugs?
Look, Dad, it's not
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
You can get a free kid's kite when you buy selected styles of kid's shoes right now.
Watch me trick friends. Hey, I like to learn fruit juggling.
Sure.
While I juggle down these fruity pebbles. Fruit-a-rooty.
Warning.
You've got to be spinning around.
Home's fruity pebble cereal, part of this balanced breakfast.
It's fun to draw, it's fun to write. With a Bedrock Glow Slate, yeah. Things glow bright. One Bedrock Glow Slate in marked boxes of Post Pebble cereal.
Glow for it.
Battle for water. The evil Rulons build a dam to cut off the Dino Riders' water supply.
Playing in the mud again, Krulos?
Crush them, Cobras.
With what, Krulos?
The Pachycephalosaurus moved the boulders.
What's wrong? Got a tummy ache, T-Rex?
The Stegosaurus breaks the dam.
I'll get you yet, Tark.
Stegosaurus and Tyrannosaurus Rex with motorized walking action and Pachycephalosaurus each with figures and battle gear.
Dino Riders! I'm an attorney, not an actor. And if you've been in a car accident, I'd like to tell you what to expect when you call the People's Lawyer. We'll help you see a doctor on credit and receive money for your car accident injuries. You don't pay anything until we recover money for you. For a free consultation in plain English with no hype, no pressure, no obligation, call the People's Lawyer at 444-4441. That's 6 4s and then a 1.
So you want to be part of Skyhawk Squadron. You'll have 3 G's of power in your hands, and you better know what to do with it. Okay, we need some volunteers. You and you. If you've got the brains and the guts, you're wearing your wings.
Fly Skyhawk, new at Great America. Fly Great America's newest ride every weekend starting March 11th.
What do these breath mints have that Tic Tacs don't? More zip? Nah. More pleasure? Uh-uh. Oh, I remember. More calories. I knew there was something.
Since the dawn of time, they have hungered, longing for a dog food with a look and taste like no other. The king of all dog foods.
King Cuts. Cuts.
Tender, juicy cuts made with luscious, lean meat. So scrumptiously sliced, so incredibly edibly unique. Dogs just go nuts for
King Cuts.
The king of all dog foods.
King Cuts.
I'm telling you, Eric, I can make you a star.
Really?
Absolutely. Here, make up a song.
With the Creative Music Maker, your kids can make up their own songs.
Now play it back. Okay, now, you're ready to sing it.
On the radio. I'm a rock, Miss Baker. Never been a Miss Baker. I'm a rock, Miss Baker.
The Creative Music Maker from Fisher-Price. Batteries not included.
Now, about your image.
Pepperidge Farm Distinctive Cookies. Everybody thinks their favorite is the best. they're right.
What happened, Charlie?
You tell me what happened.
I went to the diner. Then she just came right up to me. I was shocked. All she could say was,
I don't need you, Charlie. It's finished.
And I kept trying to talk to her, but she was very clear.
Julie's found a man. He satisfies me. Every part of me.
It seems like she's made another choice.
I need a man. Not some young boy who doesn't even know what a bed's for.
She's hustling. She's a prostitute.
She was forced to lie. Now he must forget. All My Children, weekdays.
Weekends, something like a crackle button. More like a snap. Oh, there, thin and square in there. Light as air in there. Honest to goodness, lip smackers. Just for you snackers. Something like a crackle button. More like a snap.
Years ago, grandmas made dolls by hand. Dolls to carry all day and cuddle all night. Each as different and special as the little girls who love them. Now you can give your little girl a doll that special. Grandma's Marshmallow Babies from Play School. Soft cloth bodies and sweet touches that give each a one-of-a-kind look. Grandma's Marshmallow Babies. Dolls to love for a lifetime.
I always wanted a doll like yours.
Feeling good about the Play School.
Play School, we know how kids love to play with flashlights, so we made one just for them. Play School's flashlight is really tough.
Hey, it doesn't break.
Shines in three colors, and even turns itself off.
There's ghosts out there.
The game is a question of scruples.
Your friend set you up with a blind date. He's not exactly what you had in mind. Do you go through with it?
Depends.
On what?
On whether or not he sees me first.
Hey, oh. Looks aren't everything.
Prove it.
You married him, didn't you?
Scruples, it's a game and more.
If your kids are somewhat interested in TV, then they just might be ready for Video Smarts. Video Smarts is a VCR learning system that entertains and teaches your child.
Find the space with the letter B.
Right.
So if your kids are spellbound with TV, imagine how they'll feel about Video Smarts. Video Smarts. Smart TV.
Yeah, that old familiar music. How I miss you.
You're gonna have me some fun. 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 You're gonna have me some fun.
You guys miss this?
You're gonna have me some fun. You're gonna have me some fun. You're gonna have me some fun.
It's like caca.
You know what sucks is we haven't gotten to the shows yet, so there's no reference point to the clips.
Oh, yeah.
But that's awesome. Okay, we're back. And I'm going to speed things up here, Bill. Like,
all right.
Like, I have three Celebrity Apprentice clips. I'm going to play one. I'm not going to go crazy now because we've spent a lot of time doing other things on the show. And besides, no one cares that much. It's filler.
But who's watching it?
Celebrity Apprentice? Just me, I think. No, my dad.
I watch bits and pieces.
My dad
watches
it.
I watch bits and pieces.
Yeah, my dad watches it. I can talk for a long time to my dad about Celebrity Apprentice because he watches
it. I could probably get into it easy. I'm fascinated by celebrities' quirks. And
my dad talks about what a disgusting human being Lisa Lampanelli is.
Really? He doesn't like her at all, huh?
No, no, no. He's just like she's petty, and disgusted by her. Doesn't even like looking at her. But that's funny because
she's intense.
There's a part where she cries that I thought was hilarious. They have to do some kind of project where they make a stupid travel book of New York, which okay. No one will ever look at. But then you sell them on the street for $5, and whoever makes the most. Well, she tells them to go take pictures of landmarks, but they take like 100 pictures. Like, she's like, take 5 and that'll be enough for the book, right? So they take so many, and it's all pretty girls, you know, like super,
of course,
smoking hot Debbie Gibson, Bill. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah.
There is
who it seems like every time I tune in is singing.
Yeah, she sings on every task. Yeah. But there's the Miss America, or what is she? I don't know. Miss Universe, Diana Mendoza, and she's really pretty.
I have no idea who that is.
But Lisa Lampanelli doesn't like her at all, so she hates her, and she tells her to shut up and stuff like that. I gotta play this clip where she starts crying, because I'm pretty sure Lisa Lampanelli is insane, and I know she's a comedian stuff, but we all know comedians are all nuts, right?
But her style of comedy is just really crass.
Right.
Like, she's like a roast type of comic.
Yeah, yeah. And she's very crass, and she...
She's a female Andrew Dice Clay.
Right.
She is, exactly.
Okay, let me just play this clip. Let's check this out.
Do you girls really think it's at all helpful to take 100 pictures instead of 5? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Did anybody have any specific task about the book?
No, but somehow it falls to me always to save everybody's ass. Fine. This book was not about looking perfect and creating beautiful scenarios. How about we sell this thing for charity, have a product, and then get checks in? Sound good?
Hey, Lisa, are we writing How to Get There?
Dude, I swear to God, if you were so intent on addresses, you could have gotten them for everybody. I can't do everybody's work.
That's why I asked you if you needed something else.
I can't even stress how you guys somehow managed to focus on the least important stuff in this whole task.
Who was focusing the least important?
Oh, come on, will you shut up? I swear, can we get this done? There had been the suggestion from the genius, Diana, to have subway directions in the book. I am not about to have some 11th hour yapping yapster step in and try to derail the book.
Don't stress right now. We're trying
really,
to get this
can you just
now.
Get her out of here? Can you get her out of here? Oh
else?
My God. Shut up.
Wow.
Don't stress.
Oh, my God. Don't stress, because all the responsibility is me. Why would you ever stress?
I think Liz is confused. She doesn't even know what's the right place or situation to get emotional. I'm sure Mr. Trump's not going to choose the winner that's going to be shouting and yelling and screaming and crying.
If we lose and it's because we don't have subway directions, then I'll go home.
Lisa, please.
Can someone just shut up while this girl works? Can the yapping never stop?
I'm like blown away by the stupidity in parts of our group. I just sweated my ass off putting this book together. I am sick of this pressure from women who all they do is look in a mirror. You develop a talent and a brain, and then maybe the world will take you seriously.
Oh my God, it never ends.
God, what is wrong with her?
Wow.
And I gotta say, the Diana Mendoza lady, she didn't break her smile or anything when she was telling her to shut up. She's just like...
Probably because she doesn't understand English.
She's like, what did you say to me?
Well, either that or she realizes it's a game.
She's like, you need to calm down, Lisa Lampanelli. It's just like so much pressure. It's like, shut up. Come on.
These girls say chowding instead of shouting.
She keeps chowding at me.
I love people like that.
But she is very beautiful.
Is she?
Yes.
Well, at least she has that for her. And all she has to do is look in a mirror and not develop a talent or a brain. So.
Yes. Look in the mirror for a living. And, you know, Lou Ferrigno, he seems kind of...
off? Retarded, maybe?
Self-centered? I don't know. Like,
no.
Yeah.
And has he brought up pumping iron at all?
No, he just talks about the Hulk, I guess.
Oh, that's what he's holding on to?
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy, but he's really just worried people don't think much of him.
Don't remember him anymore.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, honestly, when was the last time? If you asked a kid, let's say a 25-year-old, do you know who Lou Ferrigno is? What are they going to say?
I don't know.
No.
He was the
they're going to say no.
He's the guy
on
Celebrity Apprentice, as far as I know. But, you know, like Penn Jillette is on here. He seems like a really smart guy. We know he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. He's just kind of an asshole.
When stupid stuff happens around him, he just is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. I don't think he's an asshole. I just think that he's an intelligent guy. And what is he going to do?
Well, I should rephrase that. He plays an asshole. Like his right. his
oh yeah yeah yeah
persona.
Yeah, his persona definitely. The way he acts on here, I don't think he is an asshole. In fact, Clay Aiken makes him out to be a bad guy when I don't think he is. He's just analyzing everything, you know.
Well, and that's what it is to be the type of person he is.
Yeah, yeah. To
know every step, every, you know, method.
And they do this stupid thing for Walgreens where, like, walking at Walgreens and you put down how many miles you walked and you get discounts. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Who the hell would want to walk around Walgreens?
Anyone could go in there and just add miles. I walk this many miles, get their discount. They don't.
Look, there's old candy.
So, anyway, when Penn is doing this talk in front of the board members and this crowd, he accidentally says Walmart. And it's funny how everything goes boom. It's just funny how dramatic it gets, and it's funny. Let me just play that. It's a quick clip.
Give it a little walk and go to the Walgreens website, and you will get rewards and coupons for every step you take. So you can interact with your family with just a half hour a day in Walk with Walmart. We could increase all our health, increase our life expectancy. Walgreens, what did I just say? Walgreens! When Penn misnamed Walgreens, it was the equivalent of calling a woman by another name when you're in bed with her.
Oh, who is that, Dee Snider?
Yeah. Oh, it was funny when Dee got fired over Luke.
It's like pissing on someone's head and telling them it's raining.
When the episode where Dee got fired over Lou Ferrigno, it was them battling out. Dee Snider was in shock, like, what? You really fired me over this guy? Oh, my God. And he's just, like, leaves, like, okay, whatever.
I saw that. I saw it because he, in the car, he was like, they need to learn not to hold Lou Ferrigno up any longer.
Yeah, like, people are just being nice to him. And it's so funny when, you know, Trump says things, he fires you, you know, you're a great person, solid human being, class act, sorry you're fired, or whatever. Dee Snider, he goes, you know what, you're going to blow up, you're going to be big, and you're going to be great. Sorry, Dee, you're fired. And it's like,
wait, Twisted Sister?
He's going to blow up, he's going to be big, he's going to be great? What are you talking about?
In what world? Is he going to direct another Strangeland?
And it was funny, the next day I saw him on the Today Show talking about it, and he was even laughing at that. He's like, what is he talking about? Even Dee Snider didn't know. But that's pretty funny. But it's an entertaining show, but it's way too long. They had a 3-hour episode last Sunday.
You told me there was a 3-hour episode. That's like just NBC burning shit off.
I was sitting there, like, I made breakfast and I was watching it, and I wasn't paying attention how long it was. And I was like, man, I'm getting hungry. God, I just ate or whatever. It was finally over.
It's already lunchtime.
And I was like, holy dude, cow. It's noon? What the hell? It was crazy.
Is that girl still on there that made the big fuss in one of the first episodes about Debbie Gibson, about how Debbie Gibson's singing and yet she is a double platinum?
Yes, Aubrey. Yeah, Aubrey O'Day, who I have no idea who she is. I had to look
it up. Apparently she's huge in her own mind.
Yeah, in her own mind. And no one can stand her. In fact, Arsenio blew up at her.
No.
Made her cry like Arsenio. And there's a part where she took credit for something that he thought was a bunch of crap. Like, what are you doing taking credit for that? And he starts yelling at her, and then she starts getting teary-eyed.
Oh, no.
And what's funny is Trump says, well, Aubrey, you should know Arsenio like this. He's like this on his TV show. And I was like, what? No, he's not.
Does he travel back in time?
I think he's in the 80s or something. But it's funny because she said something to Arsenio. They're coming up with something about walking. And she goes, we could do you, Arsenio, how you walked away from your show. And they goes, bomb. And he just like looked at her. Like he was staring at her like, I'm pretty sure that bitch just dissed me.
Bitch, did you just go there?
He goes, well, what the hell is that bitch smoking or whatever? And so you can tell it was building up. So finally, Henry's, oh, what the hell? I'll play this clip real quick.
Yeah, I gotta hear this.
Why are you crying, Aubrey?
I don't.
There's no reason to cry.
You're right.
So don't cry.
Right?
No problem, right? Do you like him?
No, not after hearing everything he's just said. Absolutely not.
Well, he's rough. I mean, he's that way on television. And he was that
way. I actually admired him on television. I don't admire him anymore.
Ooh, listen to this.
Because I have to kiss your ass for you to admire me if I have anything that doesn't agree with
your... That's not my truth. Not
your
truth.
Truth again.
Your
it's
truth.
Only your truth.
Well,
I don't get
putting words in my mouth.
You didn't say your truth. Everything
truth.
Is you and I.
So, Arsenio, if you lose, who are you going to fire?
If I lose, I'd probably fire Aubrey.
I think so. I think in your case. I'm not sure everybody else.
Well, there was more on the other clip, but I'll go ahead and skip over that. But anyway, she leaves the show. She walks off.
She left it.
Yeah, she was crying like, everyone hates me, but I think she's coming back this week.
No one knows who the hell she is. Why? How can they hate her?
I know. All right. I know this was a long, long time ago, but let's hear the winner of Top Chef. Remember, we all love Bev, and we had Paul. And what was the other chick's name?
Tomato Face.
The girl I hated. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, Tomato Face.
Was there any...
I don't remember what her name was.
The phoniest bitch.
Yeah, God. Just super ass-kissy,
yeah,
fake.
When the whole show was over and she was on that Watch What Happens Live show, the first question from a caller is like, why were you so mean to Bev? She goes, oh, I'm not really like that. And me and Bev are the best of friends. And you're like, oh, you're full of shit.
Yeah, exactly. You could see that she was just as fake there as she was on the show.
Just listen to her reaction when she lost. Just listen to the first thing she says. I think that pretty much says what she's like. First, let's go to the stupid Top Chef. All right, let's speed this up.
Sarah.
Paul. One of you will take home the grand prize of $125,000.
Oh, spit it out.
And the title of Top Chef.
It's just been an absolute pleasure watching the two of you cook all season long. Tonight's meal was just spectacular. Sarah clearly grew as a cook. You took a lot of risk tonight, and it really paid off. Paul, all season long, you just brought it, and tonight was no different. Just really cooked your heart out. In the end, this was about as close as it can get, and you both should be very, very proud.
Did the music get any louder? Oh my God.
Paul? You are Top Chef?
I'm Top Chef.
I thought for a second it was going to be me, and it wasn't. I think I deserved to be Top Chef, but it wasn't my day.
Yeah, she says, I deserve to be Top Chef. And I'm just like, oh, come on.
Well, that's typical for her.
Yeah, so I was glad that ended. I was so pissed when Bev got eliminated.
You know what I'm really getting tired of? Is that music on Top Chef.
They need to switch up the music. I mean, come on. They've been doing the same music.
It's so stale. Like that guitar strumming shit, the happy music.
That reminds me of that Kiss Me song. Who's saying that? So kiss me.
Yeah. Sixpence None the Richer.
Yeah, that's what that reminds me of whenever I hear that.
But it's like every season we get that, and it's just become so stale and boring.
Yeah.
I think I deserve to be Top Chef.
No, that's don't. Because you think you deserve everything, and it should be handed to you.
Now, guys, I want to talk about my new favorite show, and it's called Restaurant Stakeout. It's my new reality show that I like.
I can't wait. I tagged it on my DVR. So disappointed that I wasn't able to see the episode
oh my
that
God.
You're going to talk about.
The guy's name is Willie Deagle.
Okay, and we should know that because...
I don't know why, but he's got these big old... Bill, he loves... He has stogies, and he's got these big old sausage fingers, you know, and...
Jesus.
He wears these really tailored suits, you know. He looks like a guy who could easily know Tony Soprano or something.
Like, he thinks he's, like, New York mobster.
Right, right. He's very, like, he's all business. You know, let's go. Let's fix this thing, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to put...
I'm going to take you out back and put 222s in your head.
He puts cameras in everywhere in the restaurant and has mics up, and he has this control room where he watches everything. He's like, okay, what they're doing, that's ridiculous. I can't believe they're doing that. We got to fix that. And the stuff, the thing I'm fascinated about is how horrible employees are, the things they do. Like, there was one episode where I would think I was telling you about this, where the guy was like, hey, I'm having a really bad night. Mind if I have a shot of whiskey? To the bartender. And she's like, no, you're an employee. You can't do that. And he's like, oh, man, come on. She goes, go ask the owner. If she says it's okay, then okay. And he's like, all right. He walks around the corner and stands there for a second. And he's just kind of looking around. Then he goes back. He goes, yeah, she said it's cool. She's like, oh, really? Okay. And she pours him the shot. Then he takes it. And he walks away. She goes, And she calls. And the owner is in there with Willie Deagle watching. And her phone rings. And she goes, hello? And she goes, did so-and-so just call and ask if he could have a shot of whiskey? And she was like, no. And she was like, God damn it. She like hangs up. She goes, hey. And she goes chasing. Except she does it in front of customers.
Oh, no.
So it's like,
spit that whiskey out right now.
There was one where this guy said his lemons had seeds in his cup, and he didn't like that. And the guy goes, what do you want me to do about it?
He goes, oh, my God.
Can I have another drink? He goes, yeah, but you're not getting lemons. And so he comes back and he gives him the drink. He goes, where's my lemons? He goes, you're not getting lemons. He goes, why can't I have lemons? I just don't want seeds in them. He goes, you think I'm going to go through every lemon and pick the seeds out? You're done. Go on. Get out of here. And he's like,
you're done.
He's like, you're kicking me out?
You're fine.
And he's like, you're kicking me out of the restaurant? And he's like, unbelievable. And he's like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe the way he's treating these customers. But it's funny, and
this sounds amazing.
It is. There was this one. She's very slutty, hottish bartender.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just way too much cleavage. The guy's like, "Hey, do a shot with me." She's like, "Sure." She pours herself a shot. She's doing shots with these guys, and so,
she puts it between her cleavage, and then
so Willie
drinks it that way.
Willie sends in a guy, and he's like, "Hey, say you want to buy her shots or whatever." And or don't say pay for it. You buy your own shots, but tell her to do shots with you. And he's like, do another one. And there, she's doing all these shots. And finally, she's drunk. And she gets up on the bar. And she's like, woo, dancing and stuff. It's
oh, great. My gosh.
Oh, man.
That sounds so good. I got to watch it.
There's this one in this pizza place where this real flirty waitress where she touches people all the time.
Oh.
And Willie had a an actor in there with a mic and an earbud or whatever.
Yeah.
He saw her massaging this guy's shoulders, and he goes, hey, try to get some of that massage action over here or whatever.
He goes,
hey, waitress. And she goes, yeah, can I help you? And he goes, I'm pretty jealous watching you massage that guy over there. She goes, what? I'm pretty jealous watching you massage the guy. She goes, oh, and she kind of giggles. And so she starts touching him and manhandling him and stuff. Later on, by the end of the night, she goes, hey. And she puts a paper down. And he looks and goes, dude, just got her phone number. And
it's, No way.
The phone number said, I give great massages. And he was like, what is wrong with this girl? She's on the clock and she's sitting here wanting to go home with this guy?
He's working at a massage parlor.
It was so easy for the guy. All he had to do is be kind of flirtatious, and he's going to get to go home with her. It's just, what a slut. But
Was he an attractive man?
I don't think so. And I'm pretty sure she was nuts, but, well, oh, man.
Sometimes that's the best women.
But okay, let's check out the intro to the show, because the intro hooked me because I thought it was so ridiculous. It cracked me up.
Meet Willie Deagle.
So we had a good lunch.
Owner of a string of successful steakhouse restaurants in New York City.
I love what I do. I want to be the best all the time. Let me get that door for you.
Our service is number one there is in the world.
And how has he managed to have such great service? His staff is under surveillance 24/7.
If you can't see the problems,
You can't solve the problem.
Now, other owners across the country are reaching out to Willie for his help in saving their troubled establishments. Willie combines his expertise in both service and surveillance to give owners hard evidence of what happens in their restaurant when no one is watching.
When I find what's wrong, I'm going to go in there and tell them exactly what really needs to be fixed and how this restaurant should be run. No excuses, no crybabies, period.
Wow, music by Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. And it's so funny whenever he does go in there and he goes, I've been watching everything you're doing. And all the employees are like, oh, shit. Like, oh, man.
Roy Deagle's been watching me.
I just keep thinking of Gremlins. Deagle. Oh, man. There was this one crazy bitch bartender, Bill. It's always a bartender's are nuts. She was like a fire eater, and she's supposed to do it outside on the patio, but the boss was in there. She goes, who wants to see a fire show? And she lights it there in the dining room, and she's like swinging him around like on chains, and he's like, oh my God, what the hell is he doing?
You're gonna burn down the place.
This is crazy, man. It was hilarious.
Oh, I cannot wait to see this. I love train wrecks.
But I have this one clip here where this waitress named Moni, worst waitress ever, because they're arguing with her about they served one of their dishes way too late. After she asked them if they wanted dessert, but then she brought out another dish she forgot about that they ordered, like an appetizer. And they're like, why are you giving us this now? You're asking us to order dessert. And she starts arguing with them about it.
You've ruined our meal.
And then, you know, she talks to the manager guy and she's like, oh, she's been a bitch anyway. And she says it loud enough for the customer to hear.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, she's horrible. Let's check this out.
Out on the floor, a customer has an issue with the bistro's pace.
Excuse me, we ordered stuff, I don't know, over an hour ago, and things came out very sporadically.
That's how tapas work, honey.
Who's the girl with the phone?
Oh my God.
That's Moni.
That is Moni.
Who's Moni?
Moni is another free spirit. She needs to learn how to handle herself a little bit more professionally when she's on the floor.
Yeah, but you asked us if we wanted dessert.
Yeah,
and
you
still
said no. And then
right, but then why are we getting this later?
Look at this Moni. She's talking back to the table.
I was just only going by what your husband ordered, so I'm an order taker, and I just wrote it down happily, okay? And I gave it to the line. I asked if you wanted dessert. You gave me no response. Therefore, I walked around.
You know what? We hadn't even had everything that we ordered yet.
You did, actually. You did.
Never argue with a customer. No matter how much you think you're right, you never argue with the customer. They're the king.
I can talk to a manager or whatever.
I'm capable of handling that.
Okay, well then handle it. But I just
they don't want this because it came out way too late.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't even remember that we were getting that because it took so long. Okay, thanks.
So all we gotta do is take off the
Wow. She's really crossed the line. Moaning, cursing, and being vulgar is unacceptable behavior. This can never be allowed, especially an earshot away from the customer. Wow. Unbelievable, this girl. She's really crossed the line.
Clearly, they shouldn't be talking about the guests and everything where they can be overheard.
You got to pound it in their head that customers are everywhere. They watch your face. They see your reactions. So bottom line is customer is king. I don't want to hear you complain, talk, bicker about one guest that walks in this door, period. Wes and Deb are completely new to this business, and I can sense this staff hasn't been properly trained at all.
My name is Moni.
Hello? Moni, yes.
I'm going to start by sending in my crew to see exactly how well they have educated and trained their staff. Really press them on the knowledge of the food.
Now, a lot of places say Kobe beef, but it's not Kobe beef.
Oh, we have genuine Kobe beef.
And what is the difference between that and some other meat? Because I always see it on the menu.
That's the only one we have. We only use.
I know, but what is it?
Like, what does that mean? It's a massaged cow. It's very highly taken care of. Yes.
It's a massaged cow. You're joking, right?
Massaged cow?
All right.
Kobe beef is a particular steer that's raised in Japan. That's completely poor salesmanship because lack of education to the staff about a particular product.
Could you ask?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to know.
Wow.
She's faking her way through the food descriptions.
Where do we get the Kobe beef from?
Because she doesn't know the menu, she has to interrupt the kitchen. Those guys have work to do.
They are grass-fed.
Ask more questions.
You got something here that says it's Kobe style and Kobe, so what's the difference then with Kobe style versus Kobe?
Well, it says Wagyu beef. It doesn't say Kobe beef. Okay.
I will go and ask if there's a difference between Kobe style and Wagyu beef for the B&B Spider? What does Kobe style mean?
That's Kobe steak. And the other one is ground beef.
So why does it say Wagyu beef on it? On the B&B Spider, it says Wagyu beef.
Wes and Deborah need to train their staff on the details of the food. There's no cooking or serving going on when the staff is actually reading their own menu. This is time and money lost.
This show is just, it's always that. It's just them, when he sends in his crew to give him a hard time, it's funny.
Wow, I don't think anyone knows what they're talking about there.
Yeah, Wagyu beef.
Who is that? Wagyu beef is the breed, and Kobe style, I think, is the... The massage, or I don't know. Or no, okay, I'm reading on Wikipedia. Kobe style is taken from domestically raised Wagyu crossbred with Angus cattle. So it's
the type of cattle it is?
Yeah, it's Kobe style. It's not actual real Wagyu Kobe beef. It's crossbred.
I do think it's funny that she goes in there to talk to the chef people, the cooks or whatever, and they're like, what?
I have no idea.
I just cook it. Leave me alone. But yeah, it's an entertaining show. You should check it out.
It was massaged by the other girl that was giving out her number.
I love that. Oh, man, there was one where these girls asked the waiter to dance. You know, like, oh, you're sexy, dance or whatever. So he starts doing it, and the owner comes out in front of an entire dining room full of people. And he's like, hey, what the hell are you doing? And everyone's like stopped and they're looking. He goes, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You're a waiter. Get over here. And everyone's like, oh my God, that guy's an asshole. He's like, he's clearing his restaurant out. He doesn't know how to. Fun. It's so funny. It's always hothead Italian guys, too, who do that.
They must shoot the show in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because I heard a couple of dinks instead of think.
Yeah. He goes, ask some more questions or whatever.
questions. What are you dinking?
I love that. Willie. Gotta love Willie.
Deagle, deagle, deagle.
What?
Cursing and being vulgar is unacceptable behavior.
Ah, bummer. I don't want that job. All right, Bill, we missed an entire season of Kitchen Nightmares.
Did we? Did we never talk about it?
We did a little bit, the first couple episodes. I gotta say, there were some really boring episodes of Kitchen Nightmares.
Honestly, yeah.
The more nut stuff, like crazy stuff, makes it more entertaining, right?
Yeah, I guess, but I want to see, like, disasters. My favorite ones are the places where he's in the walk-in, just digging his hands into slimy chicken and roaches.
He's
and
like, ooh, look at that, ooh.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I don't want ones where the reason why the place isn't working is the people are morons.
Right. Well, this last episode, I think it's the season finale of Kitchen Nightmares, Zocala. The Mexican restaurant. I love where he's like, talking about cheese, and she's like, what, the Briere? I don't understand. And she's trying to tell Gordon Ramsay, and he's like, oh, what kind of cheese? And she keeps saying it, and then it's like, he goes, this is like caca. It's caca. Oh, he said it's caca. And that's the reason I made this clip, because Gordon Ramsay says caca. Let's check it out.
Chef Ramsay was greeted with a gloomy picture of the restaurant.
I send this service right
now. Please. Now he's hoping that he can find some optimism in the food.
How are you, darling?
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And your first name is?
Maria.
Maria.
I have to say, it's a huge menu for one chef on his own. How does he manage all that?
I don't know how he does it, but he's here 24/7.
And how many days a week is she here?
Three. If that.
Right. Which lasts $19. The scale steak, $23. So the food's not cheap, is it?
No.
No. And what would you recommend?
I don't know. I just never have it.
Oh, really?
You don't order your own food?
Wow. It's crazy.
I usually don't eat at Zocalo because the prices are not affordable at all.
It's not a 3 Michelin star restaurant. I know that.
chorizo fundido.
But I'm hoping that Chef Ramsay tastes our food and says it's not a lost cause. You know, that's all I can hope for.
Mary, who does the prices?
Dubrovec.
Yeah?
Yeah.
$23.50 for entrees. I mean, that's not cheap.
Yeah. Here's the queso fundido and flour tortillas that you can wrap it up with.
Brilliant.
Queso fundido?
It's just like a greasy mess. So full of oil. I can feel my arteries just squeezing. Mary, is that microwaved?
I don't know.
I'm done, thank you, Dad. Can't really afford a heart attack.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chair Ramsay, you don't feel happy.
Wow.
It's not
good. Not feel happy.
Are you putting that cheese on the microwave?
Yes.
Cheese is dreadful.
Usually the cheese is melted inside.
But it's spongy and rubbery. No? Honestly, that's dreadful, that stuff. Will you show that to Mary as well, please, Danny?
Yes.
Damn. I'm starving.
Greg, look at the cheese. Chef said it's rubbery.
What kind of cheese you use?
It's queso Friere.
Queso what?
Friere.
Eh?
Friere? It's similar to the queso fresco, but it wasn't available, so I couldn't get it.
Hi, Greg. He doing whatever he wants. There's no Mexican. You don't want to do it the same, don't do it.
There's no Mexican.
Okay. He say the cheese is Friere. Friere.
He said it was what cheese?
Friere.
Gruyere.
Briere. Something that's in Mexican.
No, that was dreadful. I think you need to go back in the kitchen.
I like the kitchen.
In what way?
It's old. It's to sleep. The floor is no for work.
Speaking English!
Oh
my God!
Do
you see the kitchen? It's too hot. Let me go and check in how are you next.
What about his chicken?
That's no good. What do you give it to him?
I don't know. Don't check on your floor staff.
No. Huh?
Don't check on your floor staff.
Hi.
Here we go.
So, this is the mocajete.
Like something out of Harry Potter. I'm going to facial steam.
What the hell was that? It's like a bowl of cat.
Okay.
That's the cactus. Jeez. PBGs. Let's have a little taste of the cactus first, shall we? There's your bit.
Mm.
It's like eating the inside of a golf ball. They cook cactus like that in Mexico?
No.
In Mexico, they shoot you for that. Mm-hmm. It's like caca.
I feel a little angry, embarrassed.
That's his extensive Mexican.
I think in
Mexican.
Maybe
you
don't like nothing.
Caca.
He said
caca. What is caca? Come on, man.
I stand by my food on a personal level.
I'm like your little brother. I just feel so sorry for you right now.
There's this black guy working in the kitchen. He's like, what is caca? I love that. Oh my God, it's so funny.
It's so difficult. I ended up stopping that episode because I had such a hard time with the woman. Thanks. Just don't talk to her. She can't speak English.
She's like, what? Briere? I love that.
Briere? Briere?
I still couldn't figure out if they. Whoa, nice burp. If they were saying Briere or Gruyere.
Yeah, and he said free air.
Free air.
And she's
air's free?
Yeah.
Free air cheese.
But I love, he gets that like steaming cauldron of cactus, and he's like,
something out of Harry Potter.
I didn't even know you could eat cactus.
Why the hell would you order cactus?
I don't, it can't taste like anything.
Meet Willie Deagle.
We already met Willie Deagle.
That's exactly who they need in this restaurant. Yeah.
Gordon, step aside, Gordon. It's me, Willie Deagle. He's like, no.
Lady Dinkin. She's not speaking English.
What is she Dinkin? Oh, my God. That would be awesome. And then he's like,
ask more questions.
No, please. I don't think I can handle any more questions with that lady.
Ask more questions. Yeah, you don't understand a word she's saying.
caca?
He said,
it's caca. It's caca.
Oh, they should have had Charo in there.
Gucci, Gucci, Gordon.
Gucci, Gucci, caca.
Now, we've. What do you guys think of Fringe since it's returned?
Oh, it's missing a certain heaviness.
There is aspects of it I really like. I liked
the episode where the observers revealed who they were.
Right, and I liked the episode where the observer told Peter that he was in his actual own time space.
Yeah, that was good. I just missed the Walterness.
Uh-huh. Last week was a good one with Walter because
yeah, very.
He had
funny.
All the presents he'd bought for Peter over the years.
Yeah, I like that.
But, oh, I missed it.
You know, I don't want to ruin it.
Missed
again.
It.
I'm not going to ruin it for you then.
Oh yeah, that's a good episode. Remember in season one they had that weird guy hulking out on the airplane, Bill.
Yes.
And he bursts through the door, and the plane crashes, and that's all you see of it.
Well, wait, is that no? I saw this episode.
Okay, where it's like this world, and they're doing the same kind of hulking out episode.
Yeah, but they're almost in a way the one guy could kind of control it in a way.
He was like a porcupine man, and.
Porcupine Batman.
Yeah, they sprout wings. But the guy who on the airplane, the reason he dies is because he doesn't have his med kit that
yeah.
injects himself. I thought that was an interesting episode. But the episode before that, when the observer tells Peter, you're in your own world and you were supposed to be erased, but they wouldn't let you go. You know, you people call it love or whatever. I really like that scene. And then Peter runs and he sees Olivia and they see each other and they run and they embrace and spin around. I thought that was a great moment right there.
Yeah, I really, but it's starting to feel so final.
Yeah, well, I would almost say that's like the final, that could have been the final episode, but we don't know what's going on with Robert, whatever his face is. What is his name? Robert Jones?
It was Pierce from Mad Men?
Yes. Robert
Every
David
time
Jones.
I see him, I'm like, oh, wait, this is so strange. There shouldn't be – an actor should only be allowed to do one show at a time because it's confusing.
Yeah. I think that's cool, though. He gets to be on Mad Men and Fringe in the same season. But, yeah, I really – I like this now. I mean, you know, earlier in the season when Peter was missing, it was driving us nuts.
Yeah.
And we've got Walter. There's a part where Walter goes, ah, this is what I always wanted, family.
Yeah.
And Lincoln Lee sitting there, and he looks at him and he goes, oh, and you're part of the family too. You know, he's like feeling all left out and he's got some disease in him or something. Well, that was good stuff. And I really hope Fox says, we'll give you one more season, kind of like they did with Chuck, where they said, we'll give you one more season, 13 episodes or something. If Fox could say, okay, Fringe, we'll give you one more episode with this many episodes, finish your story, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would.
I mean, it kills me every week to see the Fringe gets these ratings that it does when it's such a great show. I mean, even when the show is kind of a little like there's an episode that's not as great as it usually is.
Yeah, like a one-off kind of thing.
It's still better than most other shows that are out there.
Absolutely. The characters, the acting, the writing is top-notch.
It needs to stick around. And,
yeah.
And Walking Dead, I thought, really improved.
Yeah, the last two episodes.
I would say when it came back from break episode.
Yeah.
It was, remember it left off and it was gone for a while and then it came back? I'd say every episode, I thought it was strong because it had nuance. It had scenes. It had off-camera things going on. Do you remember the episode where the dude from Terrier shows up at the end?
Yes.
The tension in that scene, remember Rick and Herschel, they're in that bar and drinking and those guys show up and there's this building tension as the guys are kind of creepy, this threat kind of building there.
Yeah.
That's something the show had never done up to that point. This kind of the way it built and the way that how Rick handled it was totally badass. I was like sweating in my armpits watching that
scene.
Like
the danger of the situation they're in. They hadn't run into people like that before
and it
yet.
It's so creepy how the guy pisses on the floor and he's talking about getting some cooch or whatever.
Yeah, that's when Rick knows these guys are not on the up and up.
Yeah, they're no good. And he decided, you know, and then when he just bursts out with the violence or whatever. And what's funny, you know, there's a lot of good there. And there's also stuff they already know that the wife, Lori, drives us crazy. That episode where she decides to get in the car and drive away, I was like, oh, come on!
I don't know who it is. It might be IO9 that writes about it, but they said that anytime she's on screen, there should be, like, carnival music playing.
Yes.
Because she's going to get into a situation
right.
where something really stupid happens.
And when she's looking at a map and then the walker's there and she wrecks a car and I went, of course she did.
Yeah.
It's just like, the writers are effing with us now. They are, you know?
They have to be.
Because there's a scene where she's like, Shane, I forgive you for everything. I'm really sorry how everything went and I think you're a good guy and whatever. Okay, I'm going to walk over here. And he's like, oh, man, I still got a chance. I'm going to kill Rick now.
I still got a chance.
Yeah. And then all that stuff happens. By the way, I love that episode where Rick and Shane, you know, and all that.
Right.
And he kills Shane. I thought that was really well done.
It was handled much better in the show than on the comics.
Yes, it was. And I like how they brought Carl into it. And it was much better than in the comics.
Yeah.
And
so Carl just wasn't like a cold-blooded murderer.
And I love the quick flashes of zombieism or whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And I almost thought of it as like his zombie, his walker software was uploading.
Yeah, he was booting up.
I love that whole, the way that tension built. And the episode after the bar where the men show up and they're looking for their friends and it's all off camera. You can hear the voices outside. And then the walkers show up too. And the guy, you remember Rick, or does Herschel shoot the guy? And he's kind of on the ground, like writhing in pain. And then the walker comes up and bites into his face.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I was like, that dude, that was really tension-filled. That was well done. They really did a lot of cool stuff. And I thought the finale was pretty kick-ass.
It was the first time that the dread really took hold.
And I loved the beginning, how they showed how the walkers got there.
Yeah.
How they showed is just a helicopter flew over and they start walking over there. And I love they're all going one way and how they all just pile on the fence and they keep, you know, making pressure till they break through. And then they're walking one way, they hear a gunshot and they just turn and start walking that way. It was really cool how that all happened and the way that scene where he's walking with Carl and there's like all these hundreds of walkers behind him and they're not really paying attention at that point.
Yeah, and they actually called him the Herd. I was like, oh, hey, so they are calling it by its name.
It was a really cool finale, I thought. I thought the show really righted itself in a lot of ways. I mean, still you have stuff like, and it's funny because everyone makes fun of it, but I loved when Carl went out and the walker was stuck in the mud, you know?
Yeah.
And he starts throwing rocks at him and stuff. I love that. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, it seemed like something a kid would do.
And you realize in this world, this kid has seen some sick shit. You're going to get twisted.
Remember
when they're all they don't know what to do with the stupid Randall, and he's like, shoot him, Dad. You know, he wants to see his dad blow the dude's head off, you know? It's so messed up, and that stuff started driving me crazy, though, you know, with the Randall. I was like, don't even bring him with you, you know?
Just get it over with.
I'm forgetting about that. You know, when the episode where Rick and Shane brought him way out in the middle of nowhere in that area to kill him. And then I love when he throws the wrench and you see, like, all the zombies coming out of the window. And I watched that scene several times because it cracked me up. There's one zombie that does, like, a little flip as he comes out.
Yeah, they call him the waterfall.
Yeah, the waterfall. But it's so funny. There's one, he falls down and does like a little flip or whatever. But that episode was really cool, too. Shane stuck in the bus. And I was real. I know Shane was nuts, but I loved his character on the show for some reason. Just, I don't know.
He was like the psychotic voice of reason.
Yeah. He. Why did Lori tell him that? And also, when, you know, basically, remember that episode where she says, you've got to do something about Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the Lady Macbeth moment everyone talks about where she puts it into his head, he needs to kill Shane, right?
Right.
You see it in his eyes. He knows he needs to kill his best friend at that point.
Yeah.
Well, then that episode ends or whatever. Okay, all this stuff happens. He kills Shane. He tells Lori, and she's like,
oh my
God. Touch me. You know, like, oh. And I'm like, whoa, what?
You pretty much told me to do it.
I think she's as crazy as Shane.
I think she's nutbag.
She's a nutbag. There's this funny picture that somebody posted on Facebook where it's a scene from that last episode, and it's like she's on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it goes, "Where is Carl? Not in the house, not in the house, not in the house, or not in the house." And it's just so typical of her character. It's
oh, I know, I love that scene where I just kind of roll my eyes. Okay, the herd is coming. You know, it's Rick and Carl out there. They're all like, "Holy shit, what do we do? What do we do?" and everything. And all of a sudden, she's like, "Where's Carl at? She realized yeah. He's not there then. I checked up in the room. He's not there." It's like, bitch, he's out there somewhere. Your kid's probably going to be okay. Don't worry about it.
But I hated to see how poor Herschel's family just kept getting picked off one by one.
The kid who barely has a line of dialogue in the show, he's like, he saves Rick and Carl. He drives the RV over there so they can hop on it. What does he do? I've like tried to rewatch a scene. I think they just bust in the door, don't they?
Yeah,
they
did.
He opened the door to let him in. He's stupid.
He deserved to get eaten alive.
Because I would have driven up. Okay, you on and driven off where they're up on top. You didn't have to let them in the RV.
Isn't there normally like an air conditioning unit or a sun?
Just drive away with them up on the roof. But he's like, "Oh, let me." And then that scene was brutal. How they're like eating his legs, and the one bites him on the neck, and the other girl's mom, you know, gets grabbed.
Did you watch any of the Talking Dead?
Uh-huh. I can't handle that show.
It was one of the fears of him he had of being eaten by.
Oh, that actor. He basically didn't want what they told him that was going to happen to him because he had nightmares about it, and so he had a scene where he had to act out his worst nightmare. But that was well done. The dread. You know what my favorite scene was though in the whole show was when. Daryl saves the short-haired chick, and they're riding on his chopper, and there's the POV from the chopper where it's all foggy, and he's riding between all the walkers on the road, you know? It was so creepy and eerie, wasn't it? Just that scene where he's like, and he's riding in between all the walkers down the road. That was pretty cool.
I think my favorite was the two endings, the reveal of Michonne, Michonne.
Uh-huh.
And awesome. The prison.
I was not expecting that at all, and that was awesome.
Because it's, you know, that's not how it happens in the book.
And I loved how they showed Andrea being so resourceful, you know. She was kind of exhausted there at the end, but she was being very tactical as she got away, you know.
Yeah.
And every time she looks over, they're still coming, you know, they just keep coming. And I thought that was cool how they revealed her, Michonne or whatever.
I never knew exactly how to pronounce her name.
I guess I would – Michonne is the way I thought it.
Yeah, kind of like the French-Cajun thing.
Michonne. But that was a really cool reveal there. And I liked it, even at the end where Rick yells at all them like, you know, "What do you people want, man?" You know, he kind of tells them what's up. And
this is no longer a democracy. And they're all like, oh.
Yeah, I made a clip of that. I thought it was pretty good. Let me just play this real quick.
"I think we should take our chances.
Don't be foolish.
Guessing everything, you know?
There's no food, no fuel, no ammo.
What was that?
Could be anything. Could be a raccoon, could be a possum, a walker.
We need to leave. I mean, what are we waiting for?
Which way?
It came from over there.
Back from where we came?
Yeah.
The last thing we need is for everyone to be running off in the dark. We don't have the vehicles. No one's traveling on foot. Don't panic."
"I'm not. I'm not sitting here waiting for another herd to blow through. We need to move now."
"No one is going anywhere.
Do something."
"I am doing something. I'm keeping this group together, alive. I've been doing that all along, no matter what. I didn't ask for this. I killed my best friend for you people, for Christ's sake. You saw what he was like. How he pushed me. How he compromised us. How he threatened us.
He staged the whole Randall thing. Led me out to put a bullet in my back. He gave me no choice. He was my friend, but he came after me.
What are you crying about, Carl? You shot him.
Yeah, no shit. Please. Shut up, Carl.
Man up, kid.
Or you're dead.
Maybe you people are better off without me. Go ahead. I say there's a place for us, but maybe it's just another pipe dream. Maybe I'm fooling myself again. Well, why don't you go and find out yourself? Send me a postcard. Go on, there's the door. You can do better. Let's see how far you get. No takers? Fine. We get one thing straight. You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
Hell yeah. I love that scene where T-Dog, he's like, hell no, we ain't going back. Come on, let's go to the coast or whatever.
T-Dog.
Everyone, the whole joke is that he has no dialogue for most
of
the time.
Yeah. Who are you again?
There are a lot of episodes without T-Dog, and you're like, where the hell did that guy go?
Facebook post about him too. Who are you again?
Yeah.
What's your name again?
I want to see webisodes where didn't he find like some kind of old video handheld video game or something?
T-Dog's Adventures.
Yeah, he's just playing video games up in a room in the house the whole time.
Right? He's playing Tecmo Bowl.
What I kept thinking about as the herd came. I mean, I know hindsight is 2020, but, like, guys, we need some sort of fortified vehicle where we could just run over walkers.
Yeah, the Dead Reckoning.
So when they show up, you just – and you're just running over them. I think that the best zombie apocalypse vehicle would be an armored car, wouldn't it?
Yeah, why did they never attach, like, one of those, like, plow shovels to the front of the RV?
Do like a death coaster like Ash in Army of Darkness. That would be awesome. Sail on to the 21st century, you know.
Stop thinking with their heads.
And then, you know, they reveal the prison at the end, and I have no idea how they're going to do that storyline, but...
Yeah, there's some crazy shit with that. If they're going to blend... Maybe, you know, I was trying to think, like, how they're going to blend the two storylines of the prison and the governor and all that stuff. Maybe the governor is the prison.
Yeah, I'm wondering how
they're going to try to blend the two.
What I'm really hoping about the governor's storyline is that they change it completely.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, please.
I do not want to see a caged arena with people fighting walkers and, like, an audience watching. I don't want to see that, Bill. That was in Land of the Dead. Do you remember that?
When they put the Argentino girl in there.
You have to fight in a pit. I don't want to see that in this show. I don't.
But there was so much that was just so wrong with that whole governor storyline.
Yeah, but Glenn Mazzara really impressed me the way he handled these episodes, and I can't wait to see what they have with season 3.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it in a year.
And I got to say, you know, let's talk about Spartacus Vengeance. I was really impressed the way the whole season tied together there at the end.
And yeah, at the end, it did a really good job of tying it together.
I mean, I do think that, you know, Starz gives them so many episodes, and they have a lot of story, but they really did a good job with all of the characters, you know?
And I was surprised as they moved it along. Like, yeah. It was at a pretty breakneck pace.
But there were times I wondered where they were going with the Lucy Lawless character, but I thought it really, by the finale, I thought it was shocking, but also like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
Total sense, yeah.
Yeah. She got her ultimate revenge, wouldn't you say?
I would have to say so, yeah.
Hi, baby. And all the creepy stuff with Asher in her was really gross, I thought.
Yeah, that was very, very, very gross. But I think Asher probably got one of the best deserved deaths that we've been waiting for two seasons.
Oh, and the way they did it was so cool, where it was Crixus's girl.
Yeah.
Who fought him was so cool. And the way that they set that up, there was such tension in that scene. Because, you know, if he Asher would have fought Spartacus or Crixus, he wouldn't have fought, you know, done well at all.
No.
So by putting him...
There was a certain arrogance to his fight even then.
Yeah. And the way he fought Crixus's girl is you're like, oh, man, I don't know if she has a chance. She's still learning to fight and everything. And I love the way she was like, don't help me. I'm going to do this myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Was really cool. And I, you know, we've talked a lot about how Andy Whitfield in the role. You gotta hand it to Liam McIntyre. He did a good job in the role. You know,
he did.
Knowing
he
had such shoes to fill, and yeah. I mean, the guy is very likable.
Well, and the character of Spartacus is written so differently this season that I don't think Andy Whitfield would have been right for it. Because there was so much emotion in the way Andy Whitfield portrayed him in Blood and Sand. And in this, he kind of becomes rather cold-blooded and impulsive this season.
I saw some sensitivity there, though, with him.
I mean, there was a little, yeah. You know, certain situations, but it didn't seem like the same character. It almost seemed like something happened between the first and second season that we didn't see. You know, because it goes from them leaving the Ludus to now to the situation they're in, you know, fighting, running away from Roman soldiers and all that. It just seemed like there's something missing in the story for me.
Right.
Like, what made him change so drastically? Was it that final speech, the killing of Bodiatus?
Yeah. I mean,
or
he said kill them all, and they killed a lot of people. But let me ask you this. By the end of this episode, the finale, what did you think of Liam McIntyre?
I thought he did an excellent job, and that you really can't compare the two. They're their own separate entities entirely.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I love Gannicus.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
And I love how they gave him that kind of, you know, he's like, all I need is drink and questionable women. That's all Gannicus cares about. And because he doesn't care about anything, but you slowly see him start to care. You know,
yeah.
There's that scene where, you know, where Globber comes out and he's like, we're going to start crucifying everybody. Anyone who mentions Spartacus, you get crucified on the cross or whatever. And he's... You see his prostitute that he hangs out with, and she's like, oh, tell me more of Spartacus, you know, because it's exciting. You know, they're slaves that rebelled. And he's like, do not speak of that. And then he sees her crucified, and you can tell it does something to him seeing her there, like, this is effed up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's really disturbed by it. I like seeing his journey there and also his thing with Animaeus and him and Animaeus at the end. That killed me, you know, seeing that happen to Animaeus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good moment where he's like, I will see my wife again. And I thought that was really cool. But I love when there's a moment where it's Crixus, Spartacus, and Gannicus, and they all jump at the same time, like towards the Romans are coming towards them, and they're all like, aah! I thought that was so cool because those three guys are such badasses, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, hell yeah, those three guys could take on like a dozen Romans, you know, easily. And the whole thing was so disturbing with Alethea.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
The baby.
I didn't think I would ever feel any sort of connection to Alethea of all the people on the show. And I felt horrible for her.
I did, too. And you know what? I'm all over the place. But, you know, basically Asher becomes Glaber's bad guy who he does stuff for him. You know, he does all of his bad, you know, what am I trying to say here? He's his right-hand man. And he does all of his dirty deeds for him, right?
Yeah.
He kills that girl's brother, and then he collects treasure, whatever. But I love the part where Alethea and Lucretia conspire, you know, like, I'll get rid of him for you. And she tells her husband that he's meaning to have him, you know, killed. So he's going to kill Asher and his men or whatever. But he's like, I will give you land and 1,000 denarii. And they all sheath their weapons. And the line that Asher speaks there is hilarious. And it cracked me up. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
cracked me up. He knew he was screwed, but just there was so much in this finale that I loved. And I was Mira, that thing killed me because I loved Mira, the warrior woman girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
She was awesome, and she became an archer. Totally badass. So
yeah,
cool.
There's a lot that, you know, I was really struggling with it this season because I had something else in my head. Mm-hmm. And once you let that go, it's almost kind of like the way we had to start. We enjoyed Blood and Sand, and that at first it was kind of goofy,
right,
and then it took hold emotionally.
Right.
And it's kind of what it was with this season for me, in that it just, I was expecting something else, and then once I let that go, I really started to enjoy it.
You know what I struggled with? And, you know, the Liam McIntyre, I thought he was good. He was decent and everything. He didn't bother me. The loss of Batiatis really bothered me.
Yeah.
For a while. But there was that episode where Glaber goes bad, and you know he's going to do whatever he can to get what he wants.
Yeah, when he murders that entire
I was like,
family,
oh,
basically.
And the big episode is when Spartacus rescues them from the arena, and then Glaber kills Alethea's dad. That was the episode where I was like, dude, this is awesome. I was like cheering by the end of that episode, you know? And I cheered twice in this episode. First of all, when Asher got it, I was like, yes! And I started clapping.
It's so brutally, so drawn out.
Oh, and her line that she says, what is his, Navia?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, not yet, baby. I'll tell you when, okay? When Navia says that, you're right, it is hard to remove head from shoulders and blow. Because she's like hacking at him several times. That was
just like on the fourth hack, the head finally disconnects.
Yeah. Oh, that was so great. And you know what's so funny in that scene where Asher's talking to all of them? They all want to kill him. They're all yelling insults at Asher. And in like the left rear surround, I hear the C word yelled out.
Oh, really?
It cracked me up. Oh, God, that was so funny. And just the whole battle with Glaber at the end, you know, how Spartacus outwits him and goes down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool.
Well, I was waiting for that because that's historical. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And the vines and stuff, that was pretty cool. What was funny about that is I didn't see any vines anywhere, and then they have all these vines. I didn't care, though. I love the show.
They're on a freaking volcano. There's no tree life there.
Yeah. The show is a comic book, right? And
yeah.
I love the action on the show, the fighting. It's so much fun, you know?
It's just so well choreographed and brutal.
It really is. The battle at the end where they're all fighting and Animaeus is there and... You know, there's that one, did you say he was the Egyptian guy?
Yes, the guy that looks like Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, he's got the drop on Gannicus, and you're like, oh no, not Gannicus, and all of a sudden Animaeus is there to rescue him, and oh man, that was hardcore. And
because that guy was brutal, and he's frightening looking. Where did they dig these guys up from?
Animaeus was a great character.
He was.
The guy who plays him did a great
job.
And
he was Peter Mensch.
Mensa?
Mensa, yeah, he even looked more badass with one eye.
Yeah, he did. I was like, hey, I can work with this.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool.
And you could see the stitches. I was like, he looks badass, you know? That was a fun season. I really liked that show. And I got to say, the highlight was of ridiculous blood spewage. Was when Alethea killed that girl. What was her name?
The sister of... the snotty kid that Glaber kills.
Right.
And in the situation, I was shocked by it. Like, it was one of those ones where you didn't expect it because it's in the, they're ready to get it on and they're going at it and then whack!
Yeah.
It was so crazy. I mean, you thought she was going to kill Glaber.
Was her name Sienna or Senna?
Senna, maybe.
Or something like that. When Alethea cuts her throat, there was so much blood spray. It was ridiculous. It was like...
Was even when it happened to Asher, he must have had like 16 arteries in his neck.
And I...
it's like waterfall.
And I was like, dude, Hawaiian punch.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's almost required that you drink Hawaiian Punch while watching Spartacus.
I know. I love it. And the way that Spartacus kills Glaber at the end, I thought was awesome. And I clapped because that guy
right in the mouth.
Oh, man. I got. Let me play this clip. I love when he's fighting Glaber at the end. And you know Glaber doesn't have a chance. Glaber, no. Glaber. I don't know what his name is. But let's check this out.
You've won nothing. Rome will send legions in my wake. And one day soon you shall fall to deserve it end.
But yet it is not this day.
Hell yeah!
He killed him so brutal. He like sat the sword down his mouth. Like, John! Don't you love when he does it to you? Everybody's just standing there watching.
Yeah.
Let Rome send their legions. We will face them and see all follow Glaber in death.
Yeah!
Okay, yeah! Whatever you say.
But I love that scene because Gannicus isn't cheering. He's just looking at him. He's kind of like in awe of him.
We will become an army.
You know? He's like, yeah, I think I'm on board with this guy now.
Yeah, there's a great moment with Gannicus where he kind of got it. He was like, at first I just thought you were some asshole just running around killing shit. Now I get it. I'm on board.
Yeah, he's like, you use tactics and thinking to get out of these. He's like, I understand now. You know, he's like, okay, I got this. And that episode where Gannicus decides to capture Alethea and he kills all those Romans like just by himself was pretty cool. Just like the little flashback slow-mo.
No, is Alethea gonna be the crazy Lucretia next season?
No, she's dead.
You think?
Yeah, she bled out.
All right.
I watched the scene several times. I'm pretty sure she bled out.
Well, I mean, it looked like Lucretia bled out too, but
yeah.
Women, the wombs of women in this universe seem to be made of iron.
I know. But I love that. That's a great show, man. It really is. You get stuff on the show you don't get anywhere else.
No.
Just, it's so much fun, too. It's like, more than any other show, I have pure glee while watching it. You know, it's funny. It's hard to explain, but man, I love it. And
it's absurd. It's just how absurdly violent it is. And
there's this line where Spartacus stabs Glaber in the stomach and he falls to his knees. He goes, finally, the Roman learns his place on his knees or whatever. Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. You know, I was like, that is so cool.
It's like dialogue that you would normally like cringe and roll your eyes out.
It's
just
badass. Yeah.
Fits so well in this show.
And there's always the naysayers on the mountain, you know, where it's like, Spartacus has led us to our deaths. Shut up. Shut mouth. Or whatever. It's funny. And I even love how, you know, Agron and his gay lover guy. I love that combination there. I think it's hilarious.
Those two are like the odd couple, but not. Because the guy, he's such, like, he looks like a female, basically.
And so, you know that episode where Spartacus is like, he's going to throw a party where they get drunk and all fight each other and settle their differences?
Yes.
When that guy goes to fight the other, he does like a cat hiss. Did you notice that? He goes like,
yeah.
Like that. I thought it was hilarious.
And then I liked whenever the other guy came out and he's like, oh, you fight like a man. Like, oh, jeez. So funny.
And that crazy blonde barbarian lady.
Like her.
That's hilarious.
She's brutal.
And you always catch her staring at Gannicus, who I'm not sure he's interested. He's just kind of like, I don't know, man.
You ate a little too much for me.
Well, that was a good season. I'm sorry I spoiled things for you there, Steven.
That's all right.
Now, what do you want to do from here, Bill? Should we just end the show? Do you want to talk about any kind of DVD releases? Or
I was looking down through them, and there's really not. The only DVD release I can truly mention is that Emil Hirsch movie called The Darkest Hour. That I've wanted to see. That's the one with the electric aliens or whatever
right.
in the trailers. But yeah. That's it. That's all there is.
Did not get very good reviews, did it?
I don't believe it did, but, you know, I'm willing to give it a shot just because I enjoy that kind of stuff. The not necessarily great type of sci-fi.
I think it's 3D, too. You know, we have Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and Puss in Boots in 3D. I want to see some other 3D Blu-rays.
Now that I'm back from my my visit, my extended stay, I can make you some copies of some 3D stuff. Because everything I get, like if there's a movie I want, like Thor, I'm not going to buy it in just the regular edition. I'm going to buy the 3D edition because I know I'm going to get 3D eventually.
Yeah, it's cool because there's 2D versions with it, you know, so you're not totally screwed or anything.
Exactly. I think it gives you incentive to want to invest in the technology.
Now, Bill, Emma wants to say hi.
Okay.
And so I'm going to plug in a headset real quick. It might make all a popping sound, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's one. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other one. That's sound, so it didn't make a pop. All right, Emma, come on over here. I hope I didn't want you to hear any of our Spartacus talk, so hopefully she didn't hear too much because it's not suitable for children.
SpongeBob Vengeance.
Hi, Emma. You want to say hi to Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Emma.
Bill's feeling a lot better, don't you?
I am. Happy? And I love the flowers you picked out.
Oh, you're welcome.
And they were great.
And the cute little teddy bear hugging them.
I still have it. I have them right here in my room. So I look at it every day. You are welcome, and it really helped me when I was in the hospital, because it smells in hospitals.
Oh, I bet. That's awesome. Now, well, Bill, let's go ahead and end the show so Bill can get some rest. It's been a long show, you know, and we didn't even do news or DVDs. When you're starting to feel better, we'll do the regular kind of show, but we had a lot of catch-up on this week, didn't we?
Give me another week or two, and I'll be right back. I'll be right as rain, right back to normal.
All right, we're going to do the closeout after this message. All right, Bill?
All right.
I am Bill Lochner, otherwise known as Mulberry Bill of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Just kidding. There's this one. All right, everybody. We'll see you on the flip side, and we're going to close out the show.
Send me a postcard.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Balls are in my face.
What does that mean?
Dad, why are you always
John Smallberry?
It never, 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 never ends.
Just gonna file that under who gives a shit.
I shouldn't have had him on the show yet.
I'm cracking up.
It's okay. It's just the S word. Emma, you didn't hear anything, right?
Right. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Did you guys enjoy that?
Yes.
I've been watching you cringe.
I knew the moment I heard the first one with the.
I like getting slapped myself in the head.
Yes, I was like, whoops.
Like, oops, forgot all about that. Sometimes I have a creative little thing going on. Don't think about that. But it was funny. It was all for laughs.
Yes,
and really, it's not a bad word.
Oh.
And she doesn't know the context of it.
So there you go.
I didn't even hear you say the bad word.
I didn't say it. It was just on a clip.
I didn't hear you say it.
But everybody, that was episode 254 of Nowhere Mulberry. It's been a long time since February, since we did a show.
Yes.
Wow, February. You know,
I never understood why there was an R there.
Yeah, February, but it's February. Yeah. Who spelled it?
That's how I always remember how to spell it, because I'm like, there's a crazy R in there somewhere.
I mean, Steven, you got a CPAP. Bill had surgery. We experienced a tornado. Come on. A lot has happened.
And that was close to our street.
Yeah, it was down the street. We lost power. It's crazy.
I know.
And I'll even say this. Between the last time we did a show and now, Bill, I've taken a shower by candlelight.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
Was it romantic?
There was one morning where there's a storm, and it was the loudest thunderclap I've ever heard. Woke me up from sleep, and I was trembling, and I hugged Heather like, like I didn't know what was going on. Like the world was ending, and the thunderclap cut the power out. I was like that, and I took a shower by candlelight.
Okay, that's just weird.
Yeah, and it was so funny. I had, Emma didn't have cartoons to watch.
Oh, no.
She got ready for school, so I set up the iPod to play a little video for her as she ate cereal.
It was crazy. It was so tiny.
Yeah, it's a tiny little screen. I said, Emma, back in the olden days, this is how they watch cartoons in the morning.
They didn't do that.
On iPods.
Well, our TVs were pretty small.
But I'm just glad we're back, guys.
Me too.
It's fun talking about these shows. You know, we still got Fringe going on. We could talk about that. There's so many. And I've been watching Awake, Bill. I think it's a very well done show.
I'm going to catch up on it this weekend.
I love Justified. It's the season finale next week. We can talk about that. That's a great
Restaurant
show.
Stakeout.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Cannot wait. It's today. Tomorrow's the 8th. There's a new episode on tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
I already have it tagged. I'm ready to watch.
That's one thing I want to say, guys. I love Restaurant Stakeout.
Just going to file that under who gives a shit.
Foggy, my...
Okay, now I heard it.
All them flying monkeys?
Yeah, no, sir. There's great lines of dialogue on that show, though. I got to mention I'd say it's probably the biggest fan of the show, our biggest listener.
John Smallberry.
Yes. He loves the show, Bill.
I thought it was John Big Boutte.
You know, it's John Yaya.
John Yaya. Okay. And now I have to go watch Buckaroo Banzai again. Great.
Yeah, love that movie. I want to do a NIM movie mini of Buckaroo Banzai.
We have to. It's required.
Yes, you do.
I want people to who haven't seen it to go see it because they want to listen to our show. You know?
Why don't you go and find out yourself?
Yeah.
Well, wherever you go, there you are.
That's right. One of my favorite lines by Globber, by the way, is when he says,
"One day soon you shall fall to the servant end."
I love the way he talks, huh?
That's funny.
Yeah, that's the only line you ever hear from Spartacus, by the way. No, this one's okay. Yay!
That's when all the meatballs start falling from the sky, right?
Yeah.
Ask more questions.
Okay, I'll try to do that next time. Right?
No excuses, no crybabies, period.
Oh my.
Wow. All right, guys, that's the show, and we'll see you next time. All right, Bill, feel better.
All right.
Talk to you more later, all right?
Yep, good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Woohoo.
Good night.
Go on, there's the door. You can do better. Let's see how far you get.
All them flying monkeys?
Now this is podcasting.
I just sweated my ass off. I am sick of this pressure.
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh my God. Shut up. Shut up.
Breathe.
per year.
No excuses, no crybabies, period.
You!
Cursing and being vulgar is unacceptable behavior.
Oh, come on, will you shut up?
Yeah!